Listening pretty late. It is Thursday night, November 3rd, and we are live in the Allstate Showcase studio, still in, just glowing from the excitement of the world champion Chicago Cubs. I know it is one of their World Series
that
champs.
Is so weird.
We have one, Senator Dan Katowski, Scott Stantis, joining me in studio. Scott has drawn an incredible cartoon. He is the cartoonist for Chicago Tribune. It is really, it was beautiful. I showed everybody that picture.
Oh, thank
last
you.
Night.
Yeah, no, it blew up on, I mean, literally, like almost a million views.
It was very sweet.
Thank you.
Did you see it, Senator? No, he hasn't seen it.
It was the best cartoon I've ever seen.
It was really adorable.
This guy is so talented.
It's a cubby bear, and he's got a tear, and he's cradling the World Series champs banner.
His cheek. He's like, oh, yeah.
That's awesome. I really liked his cartoon that he did that showed kind of like the history up until this moment.
Yes.
Because I thought it was so powerful. When you went back in time, and the people who watched the game, you watch it with your...
The broken bear was a cartoon.
Broken bear, and then the person who's not there anymore.
Yeah, yeah. I'm telling you, last night we went down to Hubbard afterwards. There are people sobbing, and you're talking. There's a woman who was at, I was at an event tonight, and she had this, it turns out it was made out of T-shirt material, but it was a vest she made over 30 years ago. It was a Cubs vest with the old logo, the long C with the, it was awesome. She actually drove to Cleveland, and they didn't have tickets, and they got tickets. They sat with a bunch of Cubs fans, and she was telling me after all these people were just sobbing, and she asked why. She says, I'm thinking of my dad. I'm thinking of my grandparents. I'm thinking of all the people who weren't there to see this happen.
So much personal history, too. I mean, you know, but I think not just, you're thinking of your dad, but, or, you know, your aunts and your grandmother and your uncles, all the people that you remember just yelling at the television or yelling at the game. And I remember 84, I was in the hospital for an appendectomy. I'd gotten really sick, and my dad and I would watch the Cub games. That was obviously a gut-wrenching summer that we were on fire. I mean, Sutcliffe was my favorite. I loved the Sarge and Ron Say. And but here's the thing, like, my son has a whole team of heroes. Such great players. Baez,
I tell you, the level of emotions and the range of emotions that occurred in our house yesterday, my oldest son, Nate, just completely spiraled to a very dark place when Cleveland hit the tying homer. And I walked out of the room, and I literally, I broke into a cold sweat. And then I didn't, like, lose it. He's like, why aren't you mad? I've been here before. It's not a good place. I was in the other room. I was like talking to myself. I was like, this is not a good place.
You're talking to yourself.
Yeah, I was like, it's not a good place. I come back in. I'm like, you know what? We're going to come back. This is not this team. This team doesn't do this. And
here's where I was. Yeah. I crawled underneath the table at the restaurant we were at. I crawled.
I saw that picture.
That was when we hit the tying, when the Cleveland Indians tied it up 6-6.
Well, yeah. You know what? You just.
Yeah, he saw it. He saw
this
it.
This whole we never give up.
Yeah, we never give up. I just needed to lay down for a second. I just needed
that was
a quiet
like the rain
space.
Delay. Rain delay, I knew the rain delay was like it was like a gift because they stopped playing. It slowed
the momentum,
everything down.
Yes. And did you hear that Hayward apparently gave this great speech? Yeah.
He said this is going to make it all the more sweeter when we do come back.
Yeah, and it was. It was unbelievable. It was epic. And I was talking to one of the security guards. I was saying that it was one of those things where had we lost, it would have been so gut-wrenching. We would have hated Joe Maddon for choices that he made.
Oh,
been
yeah.
angry at Ross and Lester and all these different plays. But it was Baez, you know, the things that happened along the way that led to the tying runs, right? But on the other hand, for Cleveland, I mean, it was a game that they scratched so hard. I mean, they clawed their way to stay in that game. It was a battle to the death.
They're a similar team in the terms of they're down four runs in the seventh inning. That doesn't mean it's over.
They do not give up.
That was the difference this year with this Cubs team is that they came back over and over and over all season long. It was great to watch.
They never laid down.
That's like when Madden said, he said, we're up by seven. But he's like, I didn't feel like when it was the day before game six. He's like, I didn't feel safe. I've seen this team come back.
Yeah.
And this field, like he said, they came back against us before. And he said, I didn't feel safe. So they brought Chapman out. A lot of people disagreed with that. But, you know, in his view, Chapman was his horse. And Chapman's ERA was better when he pitched on consecutive days.
And more innings rather than just coming
more
in.
More innings, yeah.
And you've been telling me that about having
more
pitches.
Came in as a starter, and he had like a 1.0 ERA. And the only thing I thought, he never really liked pitching with inherited base runners. That's never been his strength. But They won.
That
right?
reminds me, Lester, yeah. I didn't know about the thing of not throwing to first.
Oh, my God.
The yips. I've never heard of that in my life.
I did not understand that for. I didn't realize. I mean, I know that every time it would happen throughout the season, I'd be like, why is he throwing to first? And people would tell me he doesn't throw to first. And I would completely dismiss it.
What does that mean?
And then last night, people would tell me he doesn't throw to first. And I'm like, exactly. He doesn't throw to first.
This is really like something that it's out of baseball legend.
Yes.
You know, where you'd read about, well, the guy who was a Cy Young Award winner who never threw the first because, you know, because he just had a problem with it. He was worried about throwing over the head of the first baseman, or like literally, he stared.
How do you
down.
Make it out of Little League as a pitcher?
I don't know.
And not be able to make the throw to
Cooper,
first.
My guy Cooper, who's a pitcher, can make the throw over to first base. He's 13.
Yeah.
He steps off the mound and he can do it.
By the way, Lester, we love you, but it's so weird.
It is. It's like he's the greatest. And the thing is, the fact that they built around his vulnerability. They said, okay, we're not going to have you throw to first. Don't worry about it. But you're going to stare longer at the guy at first. You're going to do a shorter step to home, right?
Right.
You're going to step off the base. You're going to pretend like you're going to throw, and we're going to throw behind the runner with the catcher.
And we're going to give you a catcher who's going to run out from behind the plate and get the ones that
that's
just drop.
That's a weird play. I've never seen a pitcher just stand there when there's this little chopper that doesn't move.
But
stared at it like, okay, you're going to do something about that?
You're Bob. What's up? Come on, you're supposed to be helping me here.
Now, why doesn't everyone who gets it to first, why didn't every one of them just steal second? I mean,
because Ross, first of all, Ross is that good.
Yeah.
He's good. He's one of the best defensive catchers in the game. And the difference is like, did you see how they were able to steal off of Aroldis Chapman? Because his windup was longer, even mm-hmm. though he threw that much fast, 10 miles faster than
he
John
can't
Lester.
Rewind himself.
Yeah. Right?
He's got to spool himself. He's a big guy.
Lester had the short stride to home, and he got the home quicker than Chapman. And so, you know, it defies logic.
So much of yesterday's game. I mean, like, even from the very beginning, when Baez has that error on that throw to first because he slid, and they were like, is the grass wet? And I'm texting Carm, who's at the game. I'm like, is the grass wet? Like, I'm worried about all the variables, you know, because he had that sort of bias that had that slip in the grass where he couldn't quite make the throw.
Yes.
And Rizzo had to reach, you know, and that was an error on Baez.
And then when Baez, you know, tried to catch the ball second base with his bare hand.
Yeah, can we talk about the bare hand thing? What is going on? That's something else that's bothering me a little bit, or how many players are trying to.
Yeah, it's a macho
thing. I know. Well, no, but I also think it is also a logistic thing because it also helps them make the throw right away, right? They don't have to make an extra step.
Yeah.
An extra move. You know,
if you have a fast runner at the plate, mm-hmm. and if it's, I don't know how many hits we saw by the Cleveland Indians where they had like these little dinky hits that went to our fielders, right? And I think Addison Russell is typically his guy who's going to use his glove.
Right.
You know, and it's rare for him to do it, to make a decision like he did yesterday. But Baez, you know, the guy's a magician, and we've seen so many different plays, but John Smoltz, who I thought was one of the great stories as an announcer, he knows so much about the game. He's like, you go for the out.
Yeah.
Just
get the out.
You don't need to be a hero.
Well, and that was another moment. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No,
we're all very excited about it. Well, and then the attempt when he tried bunting, too, because we all get mad that he doesn't, you know, try to advance the runners, and then he can't,
oh my God.
He can't lay down the bunt.
Well, but 3-2 count.
Yeah.
That's a rare call, right?
That's interesting. Yeah. I would call it an interesting call.
Rare? It's like, what? Oh, against a guy who throws, like, cut fastballs. The ball's moving all over the place. You know, and it just and we saw him do a great bunt. I was there.
Sure.
Game 5.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
On Friday night, yeah.
Yeah. Sunday at Ridley.
Whatever day it was.
Yeah,
We lost on Friday.
Yeah.
And then Saturday.
Can I ask, where can they watch this? Because anyone who's here looking here on Michigan Avenue, Patty is actually reenacting the entire game.
It's great.
Right. So first, Fowler's got a, he's got a strike. First, he gets that first strike of the game. And I'm like, all right, here we go.
He's got to bring it over the pitch.
And okay. And then he just cranks one. And I'm like,
go, go, run, they're great.
He's running backwards to second base.
Go to WGN Plus and for.
I was convinced we were going to leave that inning with more runs.
So was I.
I know. I mean, we were off of the flying stuff. You
we're
know.
So
but
greedy.
But that was why Baez's error at his throw to first made me nervous. I'm like, you don't want to lose momentum.
Don't let him creep back in. Don't let him creep back in. We had the mojo. And the fact is, as Fowler goes, typically the Cubs go. That's how it's been throughout the season.
Mm-hmm.
It just boded so well. I mean, who would have thought you'd have David Ross hit a home run?
Oh,
right?
Well, and thank God.
I know.
Yeah.
Because I'm glad we won, and obviously we needed that. Crucial.
Yeah.
But also after the inning he had, you know, with the ball off his mask and he fall. I mean,
he fell over.
I just.
Yeah. Yeah. When he fell down, I thought, oh my God, was he knocked
yes.
out? Because
yeah.
really, because he had that stagger back and thump on his behind.
He, a little bit, like, he struggled a little bit after that, but not when he was at the plate swinging that bat. And it
this
was
is what
glorious.
A leader that guy is. He blamed that play on himself. I mean, that was a ball that was thrown at least a foot in front of the plate, and it bounced, skipped off his mask, just a practically impossible play. And he blamed himself. He's like, well, that was an error on me. I mean, that was a good wild night. Pitch for sure.
Well, I'm yeah. glad that that Grandpa Ross had a great
grandpa.
Game.
He was 39.
He's 39.
He is 39. I know. I love that they call him that. He's younger than all three of us. Let's just put it that way. More after this on 720
awesome.
WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. We are live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is Senator Dan Gutowski, who is now the CEO of ChildServe. That's C-H-I-L-D-S-E-R-V.
Where did the ego?
Yeah, where did the ego?
You know why it's not there? Because our work is not done yet. And I have to tell you something. The Cubs have donated tickets to our organization, ChildServe, for families who have children in foster care so they can take their kids to the baseball games, enjoy themselves, get a chance for children who've endured a lot of challenges in life to enjoy the ball game.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, it's great. And so just another reason to love the Cubs. Just another reason. Good stuff is happening. And, you know, we, in fact, last week, you know, I think as a part of this mojo, we have a gala coming up. Our annual gala, it's going to be at the Art Institute on November 11th, and it's going to be emceed by the wonderful and the appealing and the exceedingly brilliant Patty Vasquez.
I don't want this too much. That was
no,
too much.
That, no, it's not
scale
too
that
much.
Back
no,
a little
no,
bit.
Scale back, really?
I have a dress my mother and I went shopping for your event, by the way.
Wow, yeah. Awesome. Yeah. And so we have a bunch of people have donated Cubs tickets for the silent auction for next year.
That's wonderful.
It's really cool. So it's very good.
How can people get tickets for your gala?
They can. You can go online, www.childserve, childserv, no e, .org. So you can get online. You can buy a ticket. Right now we're up to about 400, at least 420 people are coming to the Art Institute. And
that's
so
wonderful.
We're going to have a great night. And Scott, I hope you can make it.
I wasn't invited.
Well, you know what? You got to get online and come. I mean, still got some time. You are invited right now. Consider yourself a very public invitation here.
Okay.
I was waiting for your Pulitzer to come in. So.
Yeah, so we're going to have to wait a little while longer for that one. Now that the Cubs have won, there's hope.
There is hope.
There's hope.
You deserve one. You're an awesome cartoonist.
Thank you.
You are a spectacular cartoonist. Yeah. Award-winning cartoonist.
I am an award-winning cartoonist. I have a Sigma Delta Chi.
A feature award. Sigma, what do you mean Sigma Delta Chi?
I have a Sigma Delta Chi award.
Really?
That's one of them, yeah.
That's from...
Let's all bask in that, because none of us knows what it means, and we are all duly proud of you for it.
No, it's probably the second biggest award, second to the Pulitzer. I won that a few years or two ago.
Fantastic.
Yeah, wasn't that nice?
Can we look up the cartoon?
It's a portfolio.
It was your collection.
Well, it's 20 cartoons that you submit, and that's what you do for the Pulitzer. So we're putting those together right now.
Fantastic! And I'm guessing that the Cubs.
I think we might.
Essay
have.
Will.
I think it's eventually going to happen. Don't you think so?
The fact that it didn't happen the year that you did. When will the beating stop?
The beatings never really stop.
Let's talk more about Scott. I made this connection because this was a weird moment in the game yesterday. It is related to your piece.
Okay.
So when Chapman came in, I don't know what happened. There was a lot of speculation when he came in. People that talked about his allegations against him. When he was on the mound and struggled, people were yelling he should be in jail. Right, which was referring to the domestic violence charges or the allegations. And I was like, but 3 minutes ago and yesterday when he was the hero, nothing.
Yeah.
But right now, people are yelling you belong in jail. So it's a very strange thing.
I don't know the specifics. Yeah, thank you.
Those words.
Specifics of the case. But, he has been charged. I don't know that he's been tried for domestic violence.
Yeah, he was charged. He was not. The charges were dropped.
Right.
Is that right?
But that's the thing is that people were yelling he belongs in jail because he was struggling for a moment.
Gee, where have we heard that? Lock her up?
Yeah.
I don't understand.
I don't know what's going on when the people think that there's I don't think this concept has kind of been lost on people. When you are charged by, you're charged for something, and you're not, and the charges are dropped, or you're not convicted,
or you're not charged,
or you're not charged. I mean, you could be charged for anything. There's that whole notion that even a ham sandwich could be indicted.
I want to be noted, by the way, it was Scott Stantis that made the connection to Chapman and Hillary Clinton, and not me. And because
you know what it is? It's like lock them up. That's
can I finish?
Of course.
I did it to a dude.
Did you really?
That was awesome. No, because my point being that now I lost my point because I was so excited. No, I want the audience to know that I've been told that it's hard to listen to me because I sound so liberal to some people, and then I sound so conservative to other people that it's sort of confusing. I know.
The conservative part I don't hear.
I know, but some people complain, like, oh, just more of the conservative, you know, machine getting a hold of you. If I say something,
there's
I know.
Machine?
Oh, I see. People, so the liberals are
people hear what they want to hear. Yes, accuse me of being conservative. But I want it to be clear that as one of my guests, you are one of my conservative guests.
Yes.
Senator Katowski being one of my liberal guests.
What?
Huh?
But
are you not a Democrat?
No. It's funny that I'm progressive. I think it's like Scott and I talk about this all the time. You can't really pigeonhole people. On some issues you can, but on some issues,
and that's the thing I have trouble I have with voting is that there are issues that I'm hard and fast on. And then that kind of leaves me on one party. So that's
That's the kind of struggle going on in our country right now.
It
and
shouldn't
I think
be that way.
Because I think there's very polar opposites on the right and the left. But really, most people in the middle, like Scott and I, can talk all day long about, like, you know, living within your means and, you know, funding programs that make a difference. You and I can have that conversation. But there's other social issues that we agree on, mm-hmm. right? But it's so interesting to me. Like I could tell I could talk about stories like where I'd have arguments with people within my own party who would say, well, you know, what's wrong with you? You're one of these guys who don't really represent, you know, what are the values of what it means to be a Democrat. So what does it mean? I believe that people should have an opportunity to be successful, but I also believe we shouldn't waste money on programs that aren't making a difference in people's lives. And I think that's an American value.
Of course.
Right? And so
I have to let Scott respond because I cut him off earlier.
You did. So I cut him off. That was a double cutoff. We just did a double cutoff.
Oh, my God.
I know. Yeah. I apologize.
I was just going to come back to the point that we always say lock them up like that, but also we have a society now where we tell people that they should lose their jobs
like that.
Oh, he should be fired. She should be fired. They should be fired. You should be. And it's like, when did this happen?
Yeah.
Because it's almost every incident. Happens now. Oh, they should be fired. They should be fired. No, that's how they feed their children. They should not be fired because they made a mistake.
Yeah.
Boom. And so we're in a weird cultural. And it does dovetail into what you're saying.
Well, if I don't do this, I'm going to get fired. This is Chicago's very own. Time now for our news.
Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. It is Thursday night, and we are celebrating the Chicago Cubs winning the World Series. Can't say that enough times. And you know what? There are a lot of things going on. The life goes on as well around us. I know it's hard to believe. The parade, the rally, everything's going to be exciting on Friday. But as you plan your Saturday night, joining me in studio first, we have Scott Stantis, who is the political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune. We also have Senator Dan Katowski, who is now the CEO of ChildServe, helping at-risk children live better, happier, and healthier lives.
Awesome.
Go to childserve.org for more information on how you can help. And also joining us tonight to tell us about Holly Days is Holly Simon, the CEO of I Am Who I Am. This powerhouse of a woman has also brought Lizzie Benner, who runs Horse Thief Hollow and is going to make some cocktails in a little bit because it's that kind of night.
Yeah. Hi, everybody. Hi, everybody.
Hello. Tell us a little bit about Holly Days on Saturday.
I am so excited. I think maybe this is going to be truly the biggest year ever.
Very cool.
I think we're going to blow the roof off.
Is that what happens when you switch from stand-up comedy to music?
No. you had so many fans asking where you were going
to
be.
I will try to come because my thing got moved, so I'm going to try to come down there, but I don't know if I can. I'm not promising, but I'm going to try to come.
Oh, I would love to promise.
Because
you're coming.
And here's why. Because I love you.
Okay.
But also, the shopping for the holidays, the shopping, like for your Christmas presents.
We have the best vendors ever this year.
The jewelry, the clothing, the purses, the everything. It's really one of the best places to get all of it. And it's all local. A lot of local vendors and artists. I still have my favorite jewelry, like my necklace and my earrings. Yes.
We have a lady that makes Chicago flags out of wood, but they're incredible. All handmade.
She better have a lot of W's to get ready.
No, I know, right? I'm sure she didn't have that planned. But you know, what's more exciting this year, who planned them at? The best part of this year is going to be the four organizations that we're representing that are selling their wares, and all of these organizations represent, help, house, educate adults with special needs, all different abilities. So one of them is the Garden Center over there in Mount Greenwood at 104th and Kedzie. They're going to be selling candles, soaps, bags, scarves that they make. I couldn't be more proud of that. The Ray Graham High School, my kids over there are making these incredible ornaments. Their pride is bursting through the ceiling. We have Karen and Kelly Neville. She actually has Down syndrome. She runs her own jewelry company and makes jewelry.
Yeah, I bought so two proud. Of her bracelets last year.
Yeah.
She had really beautiful like Christmas beads. I loved her work.
Oh, yeah. I'm so glad you said that. But the pride I have, though, that we can finally bring this to another level. It's not just about seeing their beautiful faces, which we showcase, but it's about giving them an opportunity to show us their art and the fact that they have trained skills and they can be employed. I want to take this to the next level in our world, that our children are more than what the bar we've recently set. We need to set that bar higher.
And in a year like this, where there is so much negativity going into into what's been happening in the fall and let's just go ahead and say it, the election, you and I fight very hard to not be, we fight against anger and rage a lot, even though we use that to hopefully educate people. You know, when people are mocked or language is used to diminish, to act as though someone is less than human, it is a wonderful event like yours that shines a light on how beautiful life can be. Because, you know, for both of us, one of the things that Holly also does is I am who I am and celebrating life, because both of us were basically told when our children were born, my son Declan, who was not breathing, and they told me he may never exceed the abilities of a two-year-old intellectually. And when your son Nate was born with Down syndrome, they told both, basically they said, I'm so sorry.
Right, absolutely.
Not because they don't know how big, and look, people still say I'm sorry.
Absolutely.
And what I tell people is that my son is not my family's tragedy. He is my family's victory. And there is no way around that. Do I have tough days? I do. But so do everybody. So does everybody else. But the milestones are amazing. And Lizzie, do you want to talk about your sister?
Yeah, my sister is 40. She's a year younger than me. She's the baby of the family. I think my mom was told basically the same thing when she was born. We're very close in age, so I don't remember a lot of that time. But I know there has been milestones that she has hit that nobody ever imagined. She currently lives at Misericordia. She has for years, and she's like the joy of our family. Right. Every year at Christmas time, all the cousins and the aunts and uncles say, let's just buy Jenny Christmas presents, because the joy you get in watching her just be the center of attention, and she loves it. And she just brings everybody together, and she's so amazing. She sells for Misericordia at the farmers market all summer long at the Daily Center, and she's like the mayor.
So
people all over her, all over know her, and come up and say hi and give her hugs, and so she's like the face there.
Yeah.
She's great, and she's so amazing.
Soul, yeah.
Yeah,
I love her.
Yeah.
I love her.
And again, this is Holly Days this Saturday.
It's this Saturday.
At the Beverly Arts Center, over by Dare.
Over by Dare on the south side.
Tell people how they can get tickets.
They're going to buy tickets at the door. We're practically giving it away. So we do truly believe we're going to raise the roof. $10 at the door, donation. We have got Chicago pizza from about six different pizzerias.
Are you doing a pizza off again?
If you come, we're going to do a pizza off, because you'll be my judge. No pressure. None at all.
It's tough. I already got my favorites, but I'm not going to say who.
And then we've had this band called Coyote Riot, which I hear is off the charts.
Did you get a chance to send
Okay, maybe not. All right, I forgot. Okay. Next show, though, I'm going to have them on.
Send them, and we'll play them tomorrow, and I'll talk about your event again tomorrow night.
Oh, you're the best. Absolutely. So come to the Beverly Arts Center, 6 o'clock. The doors will open. We close at 10. You want to get there early because these vendors are going to sell out of their merchandise. Truly artists that are one of a kind and inspiring, to say the least. We will be having a cocktail demonstration from yours truly, Lizzie Benner. She also, Horse Thief Hollow, sponsors our martini bar. Nothing more narcissistic than Holly Days with a Holly Teeny. But tis the season to be Holly. So 6 to 10, Beverly Arts Center. That's 111th and Western. $10 at the door, cash bar, free pizza, free music, free friendship, and a whole lot of love. All of our kids will be attending.
What's in a Holly Teeny?
Yes.
Okay, what's in a Holly Teeny, girlfriend?
Well, this year I have a raspberry tarragon blood orange martini. I have a fig-infused bourbon cinnamon fizz. Ooh. And then I have a apricot jalapeno margarita.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, goodness.
Wow. Yes. If you have to come just for that.
Yeah, no, yeah.
If nothing else.
And what are you making tonight during the break?
So tonight I am making a sparkling grape martini. All natural ingredients, of course. I start from scratch on everything. In using local spirits from Few up in Evanston and Koval in Rogers Park. Ravenswood. Thank you. So using local spirits, which we really tried to strive to do at Horse Thief, you know, local, sustainable. So I'm going to be baking a smoking clove rye concoction and a sparkling grape.
So if I do show up, I have to Uber, is what you're saying.
You can sleep over at my house.
I would strongly suggest.
Yes.
You can sleep over. We've always wanted to do that girls' night, you and I. This is really
sounds dangerous.
Yes.
All right, we're going to take a break here, and Lizzie is going to throw together a cocktail. I will Facebook Live it, too, by the way. Go to my Facebook page, and I think I did it on my own page, because we'll figure it out. Go to my Facebook page, Patty Vasquez, on Facebook. We are hanging out with Lizzie from Horse Thief Hollow. We're celebrating Holly Days at the Beverly Arts Center this Saturday night from 6 to 10 o'clock. We'll talk more about getting tickets when we come back. Senator Dan Katowski and Scott Stantis hanging out.
By the way,
coming up later, we're going to play What's That From? We have a pair of tickets to see Engelbert Humperdinck is what we're giving away tonight. I'm just saying.
Oh,
more after this on 720 WGN. Go Cubs!
Listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Lizzie from Horse Thief Hollow is whipping together some cocktails and giving us a selection of what's going on for Holly Days this Saturday at the Beverly Arts Center. That was a little music from Coyote Riot and their song, Born to Take It Easy. But before we keep talking about Holly Days, I want to say hi to a couple of Cubs fans who are outside of the Showcase studio. I don't know how to talk. Let me see if I can talk to them. Can you hear me? Can you hear me out there? Yes? Hello? Can you hear me right now? Are microphones off out there, or can you hear me? Because I can hear you. No, he can't hear us. Because here's the thing. I wanted to say hi to him. I know a lot of people are stopping by this week because WGN is where so many people grew up listening to the Cubs.
Right.
It's in our DNA. We may not broadcast the games anymore, but we talk about the Cubs. We are all such big fans. We're so proud of our team. Sorry I couldn't get a chance to talk to them. I don't know why our microphone outside's not on, but I wanted to say hi to the little boy.
He's so awesome.
We can all wave.
We can all wave some more and say hi.
Wave.
It's so cool. His dad's looking for the station on an app.
Yeah.
So I am very excited this weekend. I will be at the rally and the parade, Senator.
I'm going to be there.
Yeah,
Do you have a float?
Yes, I have my own float, the Katowski float. I don't know if they're going to let it in, but.
Your Katowski float?
Can I get on your float?
It's a root beer float.
That's good. I like that.
You like
a little
that?
Flag in
root
it.
Root beer float ski.
A little umbrella with a W.
Yeah.
That's fancy of you.
Do you like root beer floats?
I love root beer floats.
Huge fan.
I also like a Green River float.
Really?
Yes. Why do you have to make that face?
Really?
Really?
don't know. I just didn't strike you as a Green River.
I'm a Green River gal.
Are you?
It's not Coca-Cola with it.
A blackout?
Yeah.
I'm not calling you names, just so you know. That's the name of the drink.
So
I do self-tan.
self-tanner.
I spray tan, but that's personal.
Yeah, you
that's
look
the name
good,
of the
though.
Drink. It's ice cream and Coke
look.
Over there.
Thank you, Dan.
I'm so ashen. I could use some of that.
Dan. You know?
Every time we take a selfie, poor
take
Dan
a selfie,
disappears.
Feel like
oh, my God. I'm going to
a vampire
spray
conference.
Tan next time.
We don't
need to spray your head.
It's a spray tan.
Is that guy from Twilight?
Is that powder?
The hair? Is that powder?
You can hear cocktails. That's fine. You go, Lizzie. Don't be self-conscious because it's all part of the ambiance.
Yeah.
Being on
it's
the
not air. Being filmed.
Ambiance. Yeah. It is being filmed.
Is it?
Yeah, he's got my
camera.
Facebook
Why are you
live.
Doing this? How Facebook Live?
Dan is like on fire.
My hair's not even combed.
Growing back yet?
God. Get me some gel. Get me some gel.
One Wait, cocktail, we're all out of control.
Not, no, I'm not. I'm
I
in
said,
water.
I did not say anything about you.
I know,
you
know but my kids could be listening.
I was thinking about this last night.
Yes.
And I was thinking, you know what? I've got to stop saying things that makes the senator uncomfortable. I didn't say you. I said
I
we. If you want, people want to
but
assume
I'm
it's,
we, but I'm a part of the we.
I meant me and Holly.
It's kind of like we just committed murder, but not you, Dan. I'm
Dan
not a part of it. We.
Okay. Okay, yeah. Settle in.
Dot, dot, dot.
Settle.
Sorry.
Settle.
Simmer.
Simmer. Right. This Saturday night.
Yeah. I'm so excited you're coming, though,
Saturday
this Saturday night. I'm so excited. You're going to be my celebrity bartender. Just letting everybody know.
I don't know if I can get there until like 8 or 9 o'clock, though. Damn so it's going to be late. It's going to be late. I'm taking the kids to Great America. You know Great America is still open on Saturday?
For
I'm going to be beat. But
really?
That's why I would Uber. Do you see how this all works out very well? How's your cocktail? Why are you talking to your microphone? Do you like the martini?
Incredible.
So she burned cloves. She set cloves on fire.
That was pretty amazing.
It smells good, too. I love cloves.
This is incredible. This is.
So if I was at my bar, it would be a lot more,
theatrical?
It tastes amazing, and I always feel badly for artists who are in the culinary arts because they get a little panicked when they come in here. One, we don't always have everything they need. I should start asking people, if you need ice, please bring it with you. Are these two different drinks?
Yeah, that one is...
This is the
that's the smoking clove.
Smoking clove.
Sparkling grape.
Sparkling grape martini.
And I don't have names for them yet.
I like the first one.
You like the smoking clove?
I have a couple hairs on my chest from it.
Scott, you can start doing Facebook Live, and you can just go ahead. I think, don't you, here, well, Scott, why don't you turn it around and show yourself drinking?
Sorry.
Here we go.
I know, it's all right.
We got to
It's all right.
Cheers, Scott. This is all a lot of work. So on Saturday night from 6 to 10 p.m., you can go to Beverly Art Center and enjoy some of these fantastic cocktails.
Yes.
As well as music from Coyote Riot.
They rock.
And a lot of great shopping, too, by the way. You can buy
some of the best.
There's a lot of artwork, jewelry. Can I show you something? My wallet is, I will show you this is my favorite wallet that
Shut
I bought.
Up.
No, this is my wallet from, it's like the Celtic little leather shop.
She's going to be there. I love that.
I will show everybody this is so stupid, but that's my favorite wallet.
I love it.
Favorite wallet
it's
ever.
The dancing wallet.
It's the dancing wallet.
I'm so excited.
I carry that everywhere I go.
You and I can get matching ones this year. We'll get new ones.
Why would I change my wallet?
Because I want to be part of the sisterhood of the traveling wallet.
I got it broken in. I might need a purse now. I got to move into a purse. I'm just saying.
Oh, think about the possibilities. We've got artists that are only doing our show. That's what's so cool. People that work all year just to come to ours.
It is the best art a collection of artists vendors that I've ever seen in one place.
You know what, Patty? Thank you. When I started Holly Days to bring awareness for all of our kids with special needs, I wanted to showcase something different, you know, and there wasn't really a place that people could afford art. There was always an art show up north or maybe something on, you know, State Street, Michigan Avenue, and it was always out of my pocketbook price. So when I decided to do this, I wanted great local artists to really showcase their wares that were affordable. And that's one of the cool parts about Holly Days.
And then I need to go to a break right now. And when we come back, I want to make sure everyone knows where proceeds are going for the Holly Days. This Saturday night at Beverly Arts Center, make sure everyone knows how to get there and how to get tickets. Slow down. Everybody just slow down. Paul Farvar joins in the studio. He is fresh back from Cleveland. Fresh back? Are you fresh back?
I wouldn't say fresh. I'm tiredly back.
Tiredly back is a good way to
put
it.
We slept through. We didn't sleep. We came straight through after the game.
So. He was at the game. game.
Yeah.
Game seven. Game seven.
Yeah,
game seven. World
wow.
Series championship.
How'd you get tickets?
It was actually pretty easy. We committed to going, and there's multiple places you can go online. We went to StubHub, Vivid Seats, and SeatGeek are the three places. And we just got in the car, and we're like, look, this is the price we're going to pay. We had our price point agreed upon. Got a couple of our friends went the day before, and they're like, it drops at 4 o'clock. So at 3 o'clock, it was also it was already reasonable.
I got to ask, what's the price point?
I'm asking how old somebody is. I mean,
it depends on where. I could tell you the price points of the various places.
Okay.
I have no problem
Thank
saying
you.
That.
All right.
Hold on. What was that, sir?
How old is he?
How old is he? Exactly. How much do you weigh?
How much do you weigh? That's what I was waiting for. Yeah.
I'm about 10 pounds over what I usually am.
I didn't ask the weight.
I didn't tell you. See how I answered.
You got great hair.
If you're a Cubs fan, you are easily 20 pounds heavier in the last month. There is no getting around
crazy.
That, by the way. There's no getting around that.
Yeah, you can't work out this week.
No.
So whatever month. What's that?
32 days.
Exactly.
We've been sitting in front of our television.
This is like biblical.
Waiting for the Cubs.
What did I say?
You said
a week. I'm on 2.5 hours of sleep.
So are we.
Sorry. Back
so
off, fast guys. Come on.
Scott wants to know his...
The game ended at whatever time it ended, and then we stayed there for about 2 hours after because all the Cubs fans stayed around. And then we got out of there, and everything was closed. We're like, let's just drive back. So we drove back. I mean, you couldn't sleep. Nobody slept.
How many people did you have in the car?
It was just me and a friend.
Were you listening to WGN Radio?
We couldn't get it until the end.
That's not true.
That's not true.
Not in Cleveland.
That's a lie, sir.
Oh, my God.
Have you no shame?
We were listening to the broadcast. Well, you know what?
Don't even apologize. Here, go ahead. You're listening to sports radio,
WGN
which is fine.
Was not, I don't
You're listening to ESPN radio.
I'm going home. That's it for me. Leave on a high note. No, so
we were doing replays like Harry Carey and Ron Santo. They were doing a lot of history on WGN Radio.
I mean,
obviously all day. Let me paint a picture.
Point of what you look
like. Okay, so the cheapest
thing. You lost all control.
Listen, I have no problem talking about it. I'm 27 years old. I weigh 170. No, I'm just...
You look fabulous.
I'm
not great hair.
Yeah. You can get standing room only tickets. They were about $1,200 the night before. Now, wait.
Take it easy, Scott.
We knew it was going to go a lot less. And I said the same thing happened the night before for tickets that went to $500 for standing room only. So we're like, okay, so they'll probably go up to like $700.
Right.
And I said, that's very doable. Sure enough, we wake up the next day. They're at $825. Mm-hmm. I'm like, all right, let's just start driving. They start going up. So we're like, but fine, we're gonna wait. And then they went down again to what we thought, actually lower too for San Ramon. And then we said, well, you know what? Let's see what seats are going for. And then seats went down. And then we could have waited. Actually, I don't want to think about it, but we paid more than, you know, we knew what our comfort level was. But if we waited, we still would have got tickets for a lot less. People were getting face value tickets right before.
Oh,
no way.
There were empty seats, too, and a couple of calls. I mean, I called in everybody.
I'm fine. I'm totally fine. I'm fine.
You could have gone. A lot of kids.
You to do, right?
Yeah. A lot of people were there that just went and hung out, and they ended up getting in. But
see, if you're willing to wait, in 2003, I waited to the very end. Game 6 and 7, mm-hmm. and the price kept going down,
exactly.
And people started to get nervous. And it's right. Well, it's supposed to be first pitch. I'm like, well, you know, I'll wait. Guys, like, all right, and it drops like $150.
Because there are seats held. I went to see the game where we lost 1-0 with Kershaw on the mound at Wrigley. Was it the second game?
Second game.
And I waited, Carm's brothers waited in line and for face value. And I had my price point. It was $300 or less.
Right.
And I had a seat. That was face
You'll
value.
Get there.
It was 10th row.
And you had good seats.
First baseline. It was great. I know. And so I was at a playoff game. I was, you know, you want to be, it depends on where you want to be.
Through one of these sites?
No, I was at the ticket office.
Well, Wrigley is easier. There are more options. Don't give away all the secrets.
Is it? That's what I was telling Carm. Carm is
you gave up a lot.
Did he give up too much, you think?
A little bit.
Yeah, but people aren't going to remember because it's going to be a full year.
But now I know. I'm so
So what was it when you were there and it was like when they give up the home run? What are you going to?
It was...
Because I'm stubborn.
Yeah, no kidding.
I want to tell you.
You're amidst the Cleveland fans, right? It's euphoria.
No, actually, there's a lot of Cubs fans.
Hold the drama. Hold the drama because we're going to build to this. There's a lot of stories that Paul has of what the stadium is like. I know. That's what a tease is like. But we also have important guests in the studio. Holly Simon and Lizzie Benner from Horse Thief Holly. Like I wrote notes down.
Yeah, I do.
Horse Thief
sounds very famous.
That was like a tongue twister.
It was a little bit. And they have their amazing event at Beverly Arts Center this Saturday night from 6 to 10 p.m. Where do people go for tickets?
They will come to the front door at 111th and 100, right?
Yeah, 111th and Western. You're not done, by the way. I'm keeping you to 12:30. I'm not.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. I think I just fell asleep. I'm sorry with that whole Cubs story. I'm sorry.
Could you not be a Sox fan?
Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay, go ahead and tell your story about watching the game, by the way, because your whole family's watching.
Okay. Well, my husband is a Sox fan. I'll say that right now. He's a lieutenant on the south side of Chicago Police Department.
Thank you very much for all the work. By the way, 12-hour days.
Oh, my. Don't even.
The men and women in Chicago in uniform are busting their asses, keeping the city safe, and what a remarkable job.
Oh, my gosh.
Really
good job. He is exhausted beyond belief. Mm-hmm. So there you go. And Dan's listening. So Lieutenant Dan,
thank
you. Hey,
Dan.
Thank you, Lieutenant Dan. He's listening as
he's
keeping our street safe.
So say thank you to every cop in the city.
I will.
We did not burn. Not you. You do other things.
Okay.
You thank them in a special way.
We could thank them on Facebook, too.
Sorry, Lindsay. That was weird. I apologize to your daughter.
You're also inappropriate.
Yeah,
okay.
Please stop.
This is important business. I don't even know what we're talking about. Oh, I was watching the game. I think I watched the last three games. I mean, I was busy. And I have four boys. I have four boys and my daughter, and I'm watching with all my kids. And I'm really excited. Like, Lindsay's getting so annoyed because with every play, I'm the type that makes noises like, ooh, ah, oh my God, ah. And they're like, seriously,
again,
the whole
save
game?
It for Lieutenant Dan.
Yeah,
okay.
Thanks.
Oh. Okay, that totally
you are a gifted orator, gifted storyteller.
So, all right, I'll make it fast. Cause
you,
I,
by the
I
way, by the way,
asleep.
Can I be honest? I'm a screamer. At Marie's Pizza and Rest and Liquor.
All right.
Thank you. Now, see how dirty this gets? Honestly, yeah. Men.
During baseball.
Men in here.
I went around to everyone, every table at Marie's Pizza and Liquors, and I said, I need you to know before the game starts, I get very loud.
Yes.
But I will use language that is appropriate. In front of your children, but I'll be very loud. I cannot account for the others in my party. And that became true as the night went on. Yeah, it got very ugly.
Sounds like something Scott would say a lot.
So I gasp, I yell.
Why is that wrong?
No,
how do you not?
I don't know. So I'm sitting there with all of them, and I'm like, and they're like, Mom, seriously, you just shut up. And I'm like, I can't. This is so exciting. And then finally, I'm like, oh my God, I'm so excited. I go, come on, Chicago Sox, let's go
to the Sox.
Well, I forgot. Yes. I forgot what I was watching. And
throw things at her. Just throw things at her.
It was absolutely hilarious to everybody. I didn't care. I mean, I just wanted the win for the city. So I get it. I'm happy for all.
Well, they were wearing socks.
They were.
I get it.
And they were purchased in Chicago.
They were wearing pajama bottoms. I mean, let's be honest about that.
And they originally started out the Chicago White Stockings. That was the name of the Cubs. So
that's true.
I know I'm almost off the show. I only have a couple minutes. All I'm going to say is I'm just getting tired. I'm really happy for all of you. I really am.
All right. So we can sign off here. We are waiting for ice from Rob Martier.
Yeah, no.
I'm not sure if he's going to follow through on bringing us ice.
Well, if he wants a drink, he better follow through.
I don't know that he's coming
down here. Warm drink.
I don't see him in the monitor.
I know he's not on the monitor, and he's not in traffic with Esmeralda.
Rob.
We haven't had Esmeralda Leon, whose ponytail looks spot on tonight, by the way.
Ooh, spot on, Esmeralda.
Hi.
Hi. Maybe Lizzie should come up and fill something in that cup.
Yeah, where'd you get the ice, Esmeralda?
Esmeralda
has two pieces of ice in our fridge, and I just refilled it.
Oh, that's why he's not coming down.
He's hiding. He's looking for ice. Well, thank you, Rob Martier. Okay, so we can sign. If you need to go.
No, I'm teasing you.
All right.
No, if any Cubs players are out there right now listening, if you'd like to stop by our event on Saturday, our kids would love to see you. I know you're not busy. I know you're probably available. And if you'd like to stop by to the Beverly Arts Center, 111th and Western, and come say hi to our special community.
You could really stuff
people.
It to the Southsiders.
Okay, right? Look at it that way.
And if there are any Cubs players listening, I'm going to need you to call the show. Yeah. I don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah,
I mean, go to the show. Yeah. Go support our all of our kids
yes.
who are... Really, the reason that you know, people ask me, and we've talked about this a lot, like, how do you do it as the mother of a child with special needs? And they'll say things like, you know, and you and I talk about this a lot, God only gives.
Oy vey.
God only gives special children to special parents. Yeah. And I appreciate that, and I know they're coming from a good place, but all I can hear is better you than me. More for this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, tiredly back from Cleveland, Ohio. Paul Farvar was asked a little bit earlier what it was like inside the ballpark at Progressive Field when the Indians tied, because it seemed as though there were equal parts Cub fans to Indian fans.
Well, I mean, to set the stage, I have to just go back a 30 seconds.
You do it all. Do everything you need to do.
I got
to
tell you that, first of all, people were asking about the ratio. I think it was about 30-35% Chicago
fans.
That's
significant.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
And there was a section next to us in the 500 level, which is the top, that was all the staff from Wrigley. So they were all blue. A whole section of probably 120 people. So they would start chants with, "Let's go Cubbies," and they would bleed around everywhere. It was amazing. And then the guys sitting next to us were also from the event staff, so it kind of worked out. But we also were surrounded by Cleveland fans.
And how were they?
Ultimately amazing.
Okay.
Everybody that was part of that experience.
Which means that there were moments.
Oh, ice is here.
Three big cubes.
Three chunks.
It's nice to know that in the newsroom there are three big chunks. Rob Martier, you can come join us. Grab Lizzie's chair for a moment if you don't mind. All right.
So they were all.
We're getting a report from this from the park.
Cleveland.
From yes.
Yeah, they were awesome fans because I mean anyone that went through that experience, it's like you have a bond forever. And we made friends with some of them afterwards. I gave them cards. I'm like, hey, I'm going to be doing comedy here in a month. Like, can we have your card?
Also, if you have a car accident,
yeah. I didn't pass the lawyer thing because I wanted them to like me. So I am a lawyer still. But essentially they were. It was. The whole experience was like having a child. I've never had children, but I will tell you that, and this is the only analogy I could think of because, you know, the first inning we had the home run Fowler on the fourth, fifth pitch. Everyone's excited. It's like birth, everything, and then great things are going along. Everything's going well. The kid becomes, I don't know, like a famous child prodigy or a figure skater. I don't know.
You develop the story in your head, and I'm going to let you run with it. I mean, Holly and I are not going to negate you at all. Or Heather.
I'm just saying. I've never had kids, but let me bear. This is the closest thing I'll have to having kids.
Okay,
it was
fair.
The best
That's
night
fair.
Of my life.
That's fair.
I will add that.
Okay.
Which I assume having children is the best
thing. And it
thing
was that expensive,
life.
So go ahead.
So, you know, everything's going well. We're up 6-1. You know, at this point, I don't know what the analogy would be, but probably the kid's doing well.
Getting straight A's. Yeah, teachers all love the kid. Yeah.
Tennis player, whatever, mm-hmm. figure skater, whatever. And I don't know why I said figure skater. Maybe that's because I was a figure skater. But I digress.
Getting better.
But then, to answer your question, Lester comes in, errors, wild pitch, whatever, pass balls you call them, things start going bad. That's like the first time a kid gets arrested when he's like 13 or 14.
Well, they move back into the
13,
house.
Yeah.
They move back home.
Things are going bad. Right.
Yeah.
No, they're still 13. They're living with you. So.
Okay. So figure skating.
Yeah, still figure skating, but they're like, you know, Mom, I don't want to figure skating anymore.
They yelled at their coach.
I don't like it.
They
I don't want
to practice.
Tennis is boring.
Emotional journey, and we are on during the game.
I don't want to figure skate more.
We're watching a live birth.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. He switches to play guitar, finds some bad friends, gets in trouble. First time, takes the car out with a license. So be it. That's the two runs. Okay. Home run comes. Okay, he gets busted drinking at age 14, 15 at his parents' house. And then, obviously, things go bad. The whole place went nuts. I mean, it was the loudest. You couldn't talk to anyone next to you when it was tied up. And then, of course, you know, we came back. It was amazing. And then I would analogize
that. They graduated medical school.
Going to college, getting into college. Barely, it's like a community college, but then you get straight A's. And then you get into a state school at Illinois. Illinois is a great school. And by the way, that's like that was my whole childhood. That was exactly what happened.
So
I just want to point out all of that happened.
Here, Rob Martier has a question.
What would the rain delay be then?
The rain delay.
What,
that's when he went to Europe for a year to find himself.
Rain delay. Okay, I didn't go to. Actually, in my case, I went to Washington, D.C. for a year. So I think that that also works.
Internship. An internship. Yeah. Okay, it was an internship.
The rain delay was like, eh, politics isn't for me. And then the community college was like, things are going well. Getting straight A's, and then a win is a win, which is States, University of Illinois.
Here's what the game did to Paul's brain.
basically, I want to see if that could turn into a bit.
It's going to be your life, though. Yeah. Here's what it became as you were talking it out, because you even said it was your life. You were a figure skater.
It's the greatest
you
day
went
of my
to
life.
DC.
Yeah.
Right. So I think it's going to have to be the trajectory of your life, of like, you're not really sure who I am, and I started out really, you know, I went to law school and I did really well.
Oh, yeah,
and I knew what I wanted to do with my life.
Next season.
Yeah. I'm just
But
saying.
No, I mean, to answer your question, it was.
What happened? What was
I didn't
the
hear
question?
It.
What was it like when they tied the game? It wasn't even my question.
2 minutes later.
When in the story do you hit the triple Lutz? When do you hit the triple Lutz?
It was a double axel, if you must know. And it was to Lionel Richie's all night long. Well, that's a whole other thing. But it was a crazy experience. But the going up and down, like, I've never been so nervous in my life. You guys were all dealing with it. Watching TV, but to be there was an incredible journey, and I can't imagine anything else it could be similar to, because I don't have
other
kids.
Yeah.
It's just not what I expected.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'm done. I just want to try that bit out, guys. I'll be at Laugh Factory tomorrow at 8 o'clock.
No, really.
Good luck.
Sit down.
That was wonderful.
By the way, Holly, I've booked him for holidays on Saturday night. You'll be telling that story on the South Side, just so you know.
Where are all the Cubs fans at?
That's birth with an epidural. That's what's going to happen.
I feel like it was a scene from Airplane.
I've been on the South Side.
No, the guy's pouring gasoline on him.
I mean, that's how you feel. I mean, that's awesome. Literally, my friend and I, the only thing we can imagine is those ups and downs. And then the same thing with the fans, to answer your question. Like, when it got intense, it got intense. There was almost a fight between my friend and a younger kid who was just a young guy, first time at a game, probably 14 or 15. He got into his fist after the grand
first slam. Drink at his parents' house.
After the two-run home run, sorry. And it got intense, but the security guy from the Wrigley Stadium was sitting next to us. He goes, "Hey, get your son under control.
Wow.
Or I'm going to call the police." And then they apologized. They made friends. Everybody, like, hugged at the end. But
just like
at that point,
really,
got
at
intense.
The end of the game?
At the end of the game.
You
yeah.
hugged with the Cleveland
they,
fans?
We shook hands, yeah. I made friends with everybody in our section. Cleveland fans were amazing. They were actually, I mean, maybe it was that game. I've never heard anything bad about it, but the stadium was amazing. Everybody there was amazing. I didn't see any fights. I saw online there were some fights that people said, but there were a couple rowdy people in the bathroom that would, like, say, fly the L, and it was all a lot of Cubs fans, so we just were like, just let it go. We're in enemy territory. Nothing crazy happened.
Keep her cool. By the way,
stay with figure skating.
Lizzie has delivered a cocktail to Rob Martire. Have you had a chance to enjoy this? A flaming
really
clove. Burning clove?
Nice.
Yeah, this is amazing.
I really haven't decided on a name for it.
I think burning clove, because it is.
Kind of sat there for a minute, so his is better if you want to get a real taste of it.
Yeah,
you
might want to
taste.
Nice.
It's very nice.
His, but yeah.
Will you taste Scott's?
My new favorite thing to do at the bar is to light things on fire, so have at it.
I love that. Now, what else are you lighting on fire? I know orange peels seem to be very popular.
Yeah, I make a mushroom cocktail where I light the lemon peel on fire. I also concocted this blood orange bourbon cocktail where I light thyme on fire and cup it with another cup. And so it's an interactive drink with the customers, so they have to hold the one glass, rock glass, over the other, and then it creates the smoke, and then they put it up. So it's super fun. But it can only be made when I'm there, because I'm not making my poor bartenders
learn that skill.
Well, no, they're awesome. They can all do it.
No, but I mean, like, the pressure
they learn
of, like,
from the best.
Absolutely.
But
obviously,
when we're busy, it's just too hard. So if I'm the extra person there, then I just do it.
Well, Lizzie, I want you to come back sometime from Horse Thief Hollow. I was mentioning to you off the air that you guys went during Craft Beer Week. You guys had the best beer I've ever tried.
Yeah. Yeah, we've won 3 awards and only been open not even 4 years.
It's amazing. And by the way, the history of Horse Thief Hollow is actually tied into the history of Chicago.
Yeah.
It's tell us a little bit before we go.
So I'm going to butcher this, but you'll get the idea. So in the Beverly area, first of all, we are the highest point in the city, so you can come to.
There's
Horse
a park
State.
In Norwood Park. We would contend. Yeah. Yeah. There's a park. Yeah. With the Crippen House is. But anyway, go ahead.
So yeah, so you can come to Horse Thief and buy a shirt that says Beverly, looking down on Chicago since 1860 or 70.
Seriously, it's Beverly and Norwood Park both contend that we are the highest parts. Yes.
So anyway, so when it was not developed and it was all, you know, field and woods and farms and stuff, the horse thieves used to hide in the Hollow, which is Beverly. So
cool.
Yeah, it's like there's
an actual, a lot about you guys. I'm just saying.
I'm an old Parker, remember?
I know, I'm teasing you.
Transplant.
I love Horse Thief Hollow, and you guys are going to be at the Beverly Arts Center along with providing cocktails.
Well, yeah, we were sponsoring the Martini Bar.
Excellent.
So, yeah.
Stop by. Well, come to the event, 6 to 10 o'clock. You do all your Christmas shopping right there. It's $10 at the door. Beverly Arts Center at 111th and
Western.
It is the event of the year. You want to be there. Thank you so much, Holly, for making sure that our kids, who are spectacular in so many different ways, this is to support adults with disabilities for living, for services, making sure that they are living to their potential and that we don't forget that, you know, our children, and they're adorable now, they continue to make our lives fuller and richer. Thank you so much, Holly.
Thank you so much, Patty.
Appreciate it. And do you have a website? I am?
Yeah, IamWhoIAm.com, but it's www. I always do this wrong every time I'm on.
Just I am hyphen.
Got to remember that hyphen. I am hyphenwhoiam.com. Again, celebrating, accepting, bringing awareness, inclusion.
And you're on Facebook, right?
Oh, we have a Facebook page, of course. You can find me at Holly Simon as well. But we just need it for our community, our entire city. We need to come together as one. Our children deserve it.
Well done. Thank you so much, Holly, and we'll see you on Saturday night. Thank you, Lizzie.
Horse
Thief Hollow. More. Listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, hanging out with the political cartoonist of the Chicago Tribune, Scott Stantis, State Senator Dan Katowski, who is now the CEO of ChildServe, childserv.org.
What happened to the E?
Yeah, what's wrong with the E?
What happened to the E? Dan?
Somebody took it.
No, what happened to the E?
So it's, our work is not done yet.
Okay.
That's why.
And Paul Farvar, comedian Paul Farvar, who was at, and also podcast host of Singles Only. You can go to iTunes and find his podcast there. He traveled to Cleveland, not knowing whether or not he'd get into the game. Well, you were fairly certain.
We knew we were getting in. We knew. There was way too many tickets that we knew the price was going to drop, supply and demand. I know. I took economy. Economy?
Economy?
Economics.
Guns and butter?
2 hours.
Guns
two
and
hours
butter,
sleep.
Macro and microeconomics, or just the...
I don't think... I don't remember.
Okay.
How about that?
Fair. That's fair.
I think I just took one class was the requirement. But I did political science. You don't have to know that stuff, right?
Wait a minute. Wait. Did you ever take economics, Senator?
So I did.
Okay.
And then I took poli-sci, but I was like, this is really boring. So I totally I dislike poli sci.
Oh, that's the only thing I like.
Economics was fine.
I hated economics.
I know, like, poli sci was in a class. I'm like, this is not interesting. And then what was interesting to me was people who were public servants and getting involved in that work. The work was interesting to me. The theory was not.
Fair.
So I loved English. I loved writing. I loved communications.
Economics is...
And I loved Paul's story. It was an awesome story.
Thank you.
How about those Cubs?
How about those figure skaters?
That's actually a true story. I did figure skate, and then when I stopped is when I got in trouble, which is going back to the sixth inning and seventh inning.
We came back again. So you, really, did you figure skate for a long time?
I did, yeah. I mean, I did. I didn't realize that I was the only, male doing it until all my friends switched to hockey, because we all learned skating together, and my mom wouldn't let me play hockey, so I locked myself in the bathroom during figure skating classes until she finally let me quit.
Oh. Wow.
Wow.
But I was pretty good.
A lot
I think
of pressure.
I did a double axel, I think, is where I peaked.
Can you still skate pretty well?
No.
No?
I don't, I've never tried to figure or
so it. So right, did it stop right at that moment? Did you say, I'm not skating
no,
anymore?
No. After it, I started playing when rollerblades came in, I would play roller hockey, and I was good at that. We had a pool in, or a pond in our backyard, and I would skate on that.
Have you skated since?
I haven't ice skated in a while. This is bringing back bad memories. Kevin, I thought we were talking about the Cubs.
Because you mentioned figure skating
you during
your story.
Projected your life story onto the Cubs. That's
no,
why
I talk
it
about it. I
well,
talk about it.
But,
yeah.
But I think
everybody
we,
does.
We
Who
all
doesn't
did.
Do it?
Yes.
Yeah. But I just didn't know it
absolutely.
Would be so lengthy. It was a. Yeah,
it was a 2.5 minute.
It was Dostoevsky's version of. Cubs winning,
but now you understand how it felt
it
to
did
be at
feel,
the game.
It was like, oh my God, it was such a drama.
But Senator, wasn't your question answered?
Ultimately, it was.
somewhere in there.
Somewhere.
He's
yeah.
also an attorney, by the way.
He
so
does.
He has a way.
And the thing was, I got reprimanded because of Petty. This is a tease. This is a tease. And I was like, my God, that's the longest tease I've ever
well,
endured. You know,
it was
good.
It was a 2.5 minute bit that I'm trying to see if I can work it into a new bit. And you guys were the testers. So, you know, next
along
time.
Along with
come,
half a million people. So that worked out
right.
So I had a friend, I had a friend who went to the game. And I said, what about the Cubs? He's like, look, I'm leaving for Cleveland right now. This was on, this was yesterday, Wednesday morning. And he said, I'm driving, and I bought tickets. He said, I just have to go. My father died this summer in August. He was a diehard Cub fan.
Right.
And he said, I just have to go. And he spent $950. And he said, just bought him on StubHub.
How much did he pay?
$950.
Yeah.
And he just, you know, that was it.
I mean, he just
felt compelled to go.
Driving there was all Chicago fans, all license plates were Illinois. I mean, it was, and coming back, even at the 2 or 3 in the morning we were coming back, was all people doing the same thing.
You know,
I mean,
Northern Ohio is prettier at night.
Yeah.
Oh.
Wow. I've been there.
The skies are pretty.
The skies are pretty.
There was a light thing that was cool.
What are you talking? Light pollution.
Wide open skies. Clouds and stars.
There was a light thing that was happening?
There was a light thing that was happening, and we were like, is that a UFO? Because it was 4 in the morning.
That's.
And you hadn't slept in 28 hours.
I Snapchatted. Yeah, there was a lot of Red Bull involved.
Yes.
But then it turned
That's
out
you're hallucinating
be,
from the lack of sleep.
I totally want to go for a drive with this guy.
Yes. It turned out to be a prison that was well-lit.
Was it a well-lit prison?
Yes. In Ohio.
So the searchlights.
They had the lights, but it was like it was foggy and it was like yellowish. And I was like, well, and then we didn't know, but it was a prison. But a beautiful prison at that. I mean, if you're going to get arrested in Ohio.
Where your 14-year-old has had their first drink.
It's probably for adolescents.
You want to make it convenient for the cops.
Yes,
get arrested
absolutely.
In front of the prison.
Yeah.
That's where you want to go. If they're asking you where you're going to be set.
This is the weirdest discussion about the World Series. I'm pretty sure that is happening anywhere.
One thing that was amazing about the game, and it's not a long story, it's just watching the people after they won, the Cubs fans. I mean, there were so many tears, and there were some elderly people sitting next to us and watching them like lose it. I mean, God. I have zero emotions whatsoever, and I lost it. Well, that's what I've been told.
You've been told that?
By a lot of women. Yeah, that I'm. I lack emotion.
I don't see this.
Patty,
I don't see that.
Yeah, very sensitive.
You seem
right,
very
guys?
Sensitive. Yeah. I mean, to see a UFO.
Can you call somebody and tell them that I seem very sensitive and just let
them
know?
You seem very sensitive.
Can we call anyone and tell them that you seem sensitive?
Who should we call? Is there someone we can call?
There's a couple girls.
We don't call anymore.
Dude, no, don't call.
No more calls.
Dan?
How about calling me? I'll take the call.
Yeah, let's call you. Let's call you right now.
Call me.
But it was cool to see that.
I am so thrilled to be hanging out with my friends who are all Cubs fans in the Allstate Showcase studio. Scott Santis, who is a Cubs fan because John Cass told him to be.
Yes, and I do what I'm told by mean Greek guys.
Yes, and Senator Dan Katowski, who has a family tradition, who has been watching Cubs games since he was a little boy, has shown pictures on Facebook with his dad. I love those photos with you guys at Wrigley.
That's awesome.
Very sweet.
Yeah, we went to spring training again this year.
Yeah,
and
saw those.
And just to take a picture,
the best.
Yeah, just
so fun.
It's so awesome.
It's the best.
Okay, I'm trying to decide what to do right now because so now I need to know, what was it like at spring training? Did you get a sense, you know, back in March, April? You went in March. What was it like? What did you see?
I just,
did you see this team coming together even then?
Yeah, I mean, they were very talented, and you know, Schwarber looked great.
Oh, don't
you
know, get me started.
You know, he looked so good.
I know.
Everybody looked good. You know, Bryant looked great. I mean, there was just this level of confidence. It was the coolest thing. We were waiting. We're like kids. And my dad was waiting. And when the Cubs come in, there's like this long roadway there. And so David Ross walks by. And everyone's like, that's Grandpa. It's Grandpa. And I was like, oh, my God, that's David Ross. And he walked and he was signing autographs. Yeah. It was so cool. But then Rizzo's kind of hanging back and he's waiting.
So cute. Yeah. Sorry, I don't
sound. And you know what my wife says? She's like, "Oh my God, he's so cute." And I'm like, "That's great."
My wife said she would buy his jersey.
Yeah, but he's sitting
which I
back.
Think is a metaphor.
But really?
If she said I would take pretty off sure. his jersey, that yeah, would be something would else. Buy.
Right. You guys right. are great at metaphors. At that
so you saw Rizzo.
So Rizzo, and he was kind of hanging back, and a group of people went up to say hi to him. And we're like, my dad, that's, you know, that, and we're like, oh, my God, that's Rizzo. And my dad was just, the thing is, my dad is, he's 85 years old. And he's just sitting there, he's talking to everybody about the Cubs and what the Cubs mean to him. And we watched the game, and it was just, you know, it was just every year. For the past couple of years, we've brought him there, and it's just been an absolute gift, and to be a part of him, that he's still alive. You know, I know it's like
was he at your house for the games?
No, we don't. He watches it at home. We're all calling during the game.
He doesn't like the screaming. He is too loud. Do you cry, Senator? Be honest.
Do I cry? You know what? I didn't. I was just so euphoric.
Yeah.
I want to tell you something.
You had an altar. You posted photos of the artwork that your kids
my,
have.
My son, Nate, for my brother-in-law, John Dempsey, who's, like I said, one of the most thoughtful people I know, had a framed picture of the 1908 team. So Nate wanted to improve the juju in our living room where we watched the game, and he had that framed picture. We had a framed picture of Greg Maddox. We had all these pennants up there, and it was just... It was great. I was so excited, I ran outside, and there's nobody in Park Ridge right out, right? It's all... dark, and I'm yelling, Cubs! Yeah. Cubs! And I'm like...
There had to be somebody else.
There was no... There was like a car that drove by, like this solitary car where it's like people rolled
down. That was a one-man riot.
It was awesome. But there was fireworks. There was some fireworks in the air.
That was from Jefferson Park.
It was from Jeff Park. It was.
It was from my neighborhood. We have What's That From coming up, and I want you to take a look at your scripts because I want you to appreciate the work that Lise has done and made sure your parts are highlighted. So there won't be any question of what's happening. By the way, Lise, is there any way for us to get one up to Esmeralda to read the stage directions? Is there a way for us to get one up to her? Okay, so we're going to do What's That From coming up after this break. 312-981-7200. If you can tell us what's that from.
What can they win?
They're going to win a pair of tickets to see Engelbert Humperdinck.
What?
Stop it.
Can I throw in some free tickets too?
Yes. We have one for our texters and one for a caller. Two.
Drink, Date, Laugh. We have a show tomorrow at the Laugh Factory. It's my show I run on Friday night. So I'll give away tickets to that.
Fantastic. So we have those gifts coming up.
What's your favorite Engelbert Humperdinck song?
Quando, quando, quando. More after this on 720 WGN. Listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is Scott Stantis, who is the political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune. We also have State Senator Dan Katowski, who is now the CEO of ChildServe, making sure that kids have opportunities they might not otherwise.
Build better lives.
Go to childserve.org for more information. Leave the E off of serve because you're working. I know, but I mean, I don't know what to tell you. If they type in child serve.
You're right. You're absolutely right. They type it in. If they type child serve with the E, it goes to a different organization.
So I don't know what to tell you.
No, you're telling me the right things.
I know.
You know what to say.
Child serve, no E at the end. Leave it off because their work is not done.
The work is not done.
Paul Farvar, his work is done because he went to Cleveland to watch Game 7.
So jealous.
At Progressive
Field.
Jealous.
And best day of my life.
Oh,
probably.
I mean, it's great. I mean, but
there will be better ones.
Yeah, you would think at this point.
No, completely.
No, that's it. I think you peaked.
That's it. It's all over.
I mean, really?
Before he was there. Yeah.
I mean, you know, 108 years in the making. It's history. All right. I don't want to dwell on that too. We'll talk about that more after 1 a.m.
Sure.
Because you're not leaving. I've locked the doors. Everyone's staying. Oh, I'm kidding. We are going to do What's That From? 312-981-7200. When you know What's That From, we have a lot of gifts to give you. We have a pair of tickets to Engelbert Humperdinck out in Aurora. We also have a pair of tickets to
Drink Date Laugh. Show at 8 o'clock on Friday nights at the Laugh Factory.
And we also have a Lou Malnati's pizza for each one of our winners. So you get the tickets to the Laugh Factory and you get tickets to Engelbert Humperdinck, and each one of those winners gets a pizza in
Dang.
As well.
And I'll play Quando for one of the winners on my guitar. Quando.
Right now?
No.
That would be impressive.
I'll just if they want to come over.
At in-home performance?
Yeah, sure.
At your home?
No.
This got weird.
You know what? I'm going to take that off the plate then. I've decided.
We can do it now. We'll be fine. 312-981-7200. Lisa's like, do we have enough time? Someone's already on the line. They already know what movie this is from.
They
All right.
do?
They do. All right. Go ahead and start. Whoever is first. You have your scripts in front of you, gentlemen. And ladies. Esmeralda will be doing stage direction. Okay. Who's first?
Because
there's no stage direction. That's all the header for the whole
Yeah, I don't think you want me.
No, you don't, because that would give it away. Sorry, go ahead.
Hey, I'm going to play some ball. We need an extra guy. You want to go?
No, thanks.
Why not? Don't you like baseball?
Oh, yeah, but.
But what?
But my glove. It's busted, see? Now I can't go. Thanks, though.
It's okay. I got an extra one. Come on, let's go.
Mom, I'm going to go play some ball. I'll be back in a little while.
Come on, let's go.
They meet up with the rest of the gang. Ham is showing off to the others with a fake cigar between his teeth.
And I'm Babe Ruth.
Boys chattering.
Listen, ready. Check this out.
Muffled.
I'm the great Bambino.
What?
What?
I'm the great Bambino.
What? Oh.
What?
Who's that?
What?
I had no idea who they were talking about.
What did he say? What, were you born in a barn, man?
Yeah, what planet are you from?
But there was no way I could let them know.
You never heard of the Sultan of Swat?
The Titan of Terror?
The Colossus of Clout!
The Colossus of Clout!
The King of Crash, man!
Small's narrating.
So I lied. Oh yeah, the Great Bambino! Of course! I thought you said the great Bambi.
That wimpy deer?
Yeah, I guess. Sorry.
Anyway, Scott, that's Timmy and Tommy Timmons. Mike Squints, Pilateris, Alan McClellan, we call him Yeah. Bertram Grover Weeks, Kenny DeNunez, and Hamilton Porter, we call him Ham. Guys, this is Scott Smalls.
Hi.
Yeah, he's going to play with us because he makes us nine. Now we've got a whole team. We're wasting time. Let's go to the sandlot.
Benny, it's 9 o'clock in the morning.
Why'd you bring Benny?
Because there's eight of us and he makes nine.
Yeah, so would my sister, but I didn't bring her.
With nine guys, we've got a whole team. Yeah?
No, with Alzwinger, we have a whole team. Alzwinger can catch.
Oh, sorry.
What? And throw. Come on, Benny, man. He ain't game. You saw the way he threw.
Yeah, you already fill up the empty position since Elswanger moved to Arizona.
Right, and now I get to rotate eight positions instead of seven. I need the practice, guys.
You're the best on the team. You don't need any practice.
Where's Bertram? No, you don't. You're the best man.
Come on, Benny, man. The kid is a L7 weenie.
Yeah, Oscar Mayer even. Foot long. Dodger dog. A weenie. Boys laughing.
What are you laughing at? Yeah. You run like a duck.
Okay, but I'm...
Part of the game, right?
Yeah.
Now, how come he don't get back to me?
Because he's a geek, man. He can't catch.
Man, base up, you blockheads. Smalls, you take life center, okay?
Okay, where exactly is that?
It's over there, man.
Here?
That's left. I said left center.
Okay, right. Here?
Come on, Benny, man. He's never going to catch the ball anyway. Let's just play. What a jerk.
Yeah, get two.
Come on, throw it in here, Bertram! Nice!
Wow.
Hey, Smalls, throw it to second, okay?
Come on, Benny. He's never going to catch it. He's never going to catch it.
Grunting.
I told you, Benny. We told you.
Dog growling. Come on, Benny. Why'd you do that?
A square, Benny. That kid's a square.
Growling continues.
Come on, throw it in.
What the hell's he doing?
Smalls runs the ball in and hands it to Benny.
I don't believe this.
Here. Sorry.
You can throw it, you know.
No, I can't. I don't know how. Thanks for taking me, but I think I better go.
Hey, you think too much. I bet you get straight A's and stuff, huh?
No, I got a B once. Actually, an A minus, but it should have been a B.
Man, this is baseball. You got to stop thinking. You just have fun. I mean, if you were having fun, you would have caught the ball. You ever have a paper out?
I helped a guy once.
Okay, well, chuck it like you would throw a paper. When your arm gets here, just let it go. Just let go. It's that easy.
How do I catch?
Just stand there and stick your glove out in the air. I'll take care of it.
About time, Benny. My clothes are going out of fashion.
They already are, Squints.
Shut up!
I told you, Benny.
Smalls, throw it to second.
Okay.
Groans.
Spits.
We're wasted time, Benny.
Please catch it.
Yeah!
The ball flies through the air, straight into Small's mitt.
All right! He's all right!
Told you so, man.
Okay, let's play some ball!
Yeah, let's play some ball.
All right. I knew it all the time.
And see.
I've never seen the movie. Are you kidding? You're killing me, Smalls. I never saw this movie. Neither has Farfar as well.
I haven't really seen most of it either.
All right,
but I've used that phrase that you're killing me, Smalls.
I have too, not knowing what it's from.
Yeah, exactly.
Scott, how are you doing?
I'm fine.
Hi, Scott.
I'm doing fantastic. How you doing?
We're doing great. What movie are we reading? What's that from, Scott? What's that from?
It's The Awesome Sandlot.
Yay!
Now, I mentioned that we had a pair of tickets to Engelbert Humperdinck. I'm not entirely sure because I was just looking at that's why I was behind on one of those lines. The email says I had to give them away by November 2nd. So I'm going to put you on the list for that, and we will check with our department. But I also have a Lumonize gift card and an app card to make sure that we will get that to you. And if you want the Engelbert Humperdinck tickets, let Lise know, and I'm going to throw that all at you for calling in first and getting that right for what's that from. And we also have a pair of tickets to the first texter that got it right, Lise, if you have that in the. So thank you so much, Scott. Are you excited about the Cubs?
I'm excited about the Cubs, even though I'm a White Sox fan. I'm a Chicago fan. I mean, tears came to my eyes, too, because, you know, now I don't have to listen to the Cubs fans anymore. Because the goat's done, the curse is done. Now if the Cubs suck, they really do suck.
Yeah, but it's the youngest team in World Series history. Dude, you're going to have to hear about us for a long time.
Well, hold on the line, and Lisa will talk to you in just a moment, and we'll get your information. aptelectronics.com, by the way. ABT Electronics. Go out to Glenview. Great store out there. Steve Shapiro will take care of all your needs. LouMelNatties.com. 42 locations in the Chicagoland area, but if you live somewhere else, you can always order a frozen Lou's to go. And have
is that
it
right?
Sent out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it tastes great. You know what? They have that little button inside that just pops up when it's done. I love that.
Oh, that's really cool.
So we'll find out if the Engelbert Humperdinck tickets are available. He is the Paramount Arts Theater this weekend, November 5th. And he's live at the Paramount Theater in Aurora, one night only, Saturday, November 5th. Join this international sensation as he sings all your favorites, including what, Senator Katowski?
What's that from?
After the Lovin'. Quando, and release me. November 5th, the Paramount.
I like what you're saying.
I'm just saying.
Humper ticket.
This is Chicago's very own. WGN Chicago, WGNRadio.com. Here with your news is Rob Martyr.
In a bag, I'm useless, but not for long, the future.
You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is Paul Farvar, comedian and host of Singles Only podcast. You can find that on iTunes. He's got back from Cleveland, where he watched the World Series Game 7 as the Chicago Cubs became World Series champions for the first time since 1908.
Thank you, Paul.
Yeah, I
thank you. Yes, well done. Congratulations.
I did a lot.
A grateful city salutes
and,
you.
And for a little while, he had one of the, by the, that is Scott Stantis, the cartoonist for Chicago Tribune. Senator Dan Katowski, also the CEO of Child Serve, helping kids, at-risk kids, lead Stantis better, happier
lives. Stantis just made me laugh. It was like a line from a Simon and Garfunkel song. I don't know what it was.
I don't even know what to say to you guys anymore. We're just so giddy. We're all like kids for the last couple of days.
No,
it's
kidding.
Very exciting. Are you coming down for the rally and parade tomorrow?
I'm debating on if I can wake up because I'm going to try to sleep.
It's 11, for crying out loud. It starts at 11.
I'm not going to fall asleep. Yeah, but you got to get down here at like 9, I think.
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kind of. It's going to be pretty tough to get down here from where I am at, so.
I don't know what time I'm coming down.
I'm probably going. Really? I'm probably going. Or I might just go along the parade route.
I have my alarm set for 8 a.m.
How many people do you think will be here?
Grant Park will be 2 million, easy. And I think along the route.
Do you think 2 million?
312-981-7200. Who is coming down? Easy.
How many were in
for
the parade? For Obama?
I don't remember.
That was there? No.
See, I'm not a big fan of crowds. And I don't regret not having been in Grant Park that night at all. But this feels like something I have to do.
Yes.
I'm upset they're not doing it through the loop. It would have been nice if they were downtown where you could just watch it from the building. Like the, you know, like for the Blackhawks game.
Too, right?
Yeah, the Blackhawks.
No, they're coming up Michigan Avenue.
Yeah, Lakeshore
Avenue,
Drive right through Michigan Avenue.
Yeah, but for the Blackhawks ones, they came down Monroe, and you can go to, there was a lot of people in their offices. And I heard that they did the same thing in 1985. When the Bears won, that there were people just made a ticker tape parade.
I do love the Bears meme where they're like, 1985 was a long time ago.
Well, we made the mistake, and I actually got hell from one of our editorial board members, Kristen McQuarrie, because as a joke on a podcast called Mincing Rascals, which is hosted by WGN Plus.
With John Williams?
Yes, I joked at the beginning that, well, you know, we haven't won it. We haven't been in the World. There hasn't been a team from Chicago in the World Series since 1945.
Oh.
I was clearly joking. She did not take it that way.
Yeah, a lot of
Sox fans are angry.
I would say even Chicagoans, because I'm a baseball fan, and that was wonderful. It was painful because here, and I know that a lot of Sox fans could care less. Some people are. There's a friend of mine, Joey Villagomez, who is a comedian and having a lot of fun at Cubs expense. But he's been sort of overly, sort of like uber angry and making fun of the Cubs. But at the same time, it's to the point of obviously it's so ridiculous he doesn't mean it. He's been because he's been following the games and having a lot of fun just poking us.
There are a lot of guys who mean it.
Really?
I have a buddy who says whole basement is a shrine to Cubs failures of past years. So go to his house. And in the basement is my buddy, my oldest friend, Mike Herbert.
Is there a picture of Garvey's grand slam just going over?
There's a picture of the 8-3. The scoreboard when at game 6 against the Marlins, he's got it framed in his bathroom.
Bartman just reaching
picture
over.
Picture of Bartman. That's insane. It's like, this is, I don't like to go in there because I was like, it was so painful and it was so hurtful. And I was like, I just was like, I don't like to be in that
personal
basement.
Dan and I have a mutual friend who is now an executive in actually syndicating cartoon strips. And John Glenn.
Oh, yeah.
And he is a Sox fanatic. I've talked to him in the last few days, and he was ugly about the Cubs run too.
Grew up across the street from him.
Yeah.
In that neighborhood, I mean, we were like Cubs, but the one thing I couldn't understand is the level of just the vitriol against the Cubs. And I didn't really root against the White Sox growing up.
No.
And I will say, I'll admit this on the air, after 2003, when my friend Mike Herbert, if you listen, when he's flying the Marlins flag and that from his car in the neighborhood, I was like, you know what?
Gross.
I just went to it. I was like, you know what? It's so hard for me to root for the Sox after that, but I can't say that I'm constantly rooting against them or I'm wishing ill will on them, but no. I never really understand the hate.
You know, those people are just haters.
I know.
Straight up haters.
Straight up.
Social media was created for folks like that.
I know, but the thing is, but you know what? To his credit, he said, I want the Cubs to win for people like you and your father and people who've been rooting for the Cubs their entire life, who understand baseball, watch baseball, and get it. He goes, I will wish you congratulations. So he thought that was like really big. But he wrote, congratulations, no exclamation point, just straight congratulations. But
I will say this. Yeah. The next goal now has to be, because, you know, we all kind of feel
two in a row.
Two in a row. But a Crosstown Classic would be
that would be awesome.
Never. Never. Too much to lose.
No, here,
too much to lose.
High risk, high reward.
No, I know.
You want a sweep. You want to play and you want a sweep. That's what you want. You got to say it then.
No, but I got to tell you, I was in Birmingham where their double A team was. That's not going to happen anytime soon.
Ouch. Yeah, well, let's see what Philip has to say about that, because I think Philip's got some thoughts. Hey, Philip, how are you doing?
Good. How are you tonight?
Really good.
Great.
All right, so I'm a Sox fan. I was listening to every game. I work late, so I had it on the radio every game. I'd just like to take a moment and thank the Sox for making the World Series possible for the Cubs.
I think that was very gracious. I think that laying down the way you guys did was spectacular. I mean, it's a sacrifice at a great expense.
Well, do you remember at the beginning of the season, the Sox had this red hot start?
They were on fire.
I thank you guys for being so bad this year. Thank you.
I feel like
we're picking on like the kid in school. I feel like we're bullying.
Philip is accepting that.
Yeah, it was just
You guys remember, the Dodgers were in the market to get Chris Sale.
Oh, so he's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that worked out well for us.
A Kershaw Sale 1-2 would have been completely different ballgame for the Cubs.
Well, Sale and a pair of scissors. We'll never forget that. Thank you so much for calling, Philip. More after this on 720 WGN.
Whoa!
Listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, joined by Scott Stantis, the cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune, Senator Dan Katowski, now the CEO of ChildServe, helping at-risk children live happier, healthier lives, Paul Farvar, comedian and host of Singles Only. You can catch the show tomorrow night at the Laugh Factory, 8 p.m. It's a singles dating show?
It's a game show. It's not just for single people. It's called Drink, Date, Laugh. People fill out forms, and then we ask about their dating life, very personal stuff, and they tell a complete room of strangers about it, and then we give them a $100 gift certificate to
totally
a restaurant.
I love that.
It's actually fun. A lot of people volunteer some information.
I bet. Like what? What are some of the weirdest revelations?
Some of the questions we ask, like, what's the weirdest place you've had sex? What's the worst date you had?
Hood of a Corvette. What?
Meanest thing
really
you've ever done?
Just a car?
Wait.
That's not weird.
That's not weird. Okay.
That's not weird. No. What's the weirdest?
We've had some weird ones.
Like, what?
What kind of car? Did you say Corvette?
Corvette. Yellow.
At least you didn't say Yugo.
That does take some athleticism. It does, because it's a small space.
Yeah. Hood?
At least you didn't say Pacer. What about Pacer?
What was that?
What?
Weird ones. We've had funeral homes. We've had
homes.
Yeah,
homes during a funeral.
Or? Not
more than one person.
More than one home. Yeah. More than one person.
That's funerals come up a few times, and cemeteries has come up a bunch of times.
Because you're challenging life. I feel like Esmeralda and Lise are having a different conversation, by the way, of places they're not going to tell us on the air.
Remember what Will Ferrell said? Or what Will Ferrell said in Wedding Singer: "Grief is nature's aphrodisiac."
Yeah. Well, that's at a funeral, but like at the funeral home. Like, I think one of them said that her boyfriend's dad worked there or something.
Speaking of grief, we have a Sox fan on the line. Hey, Chris, how are you doing?
Wow, I was hoping for a better introduction. But...
I'm just teasing. That was too haughty.
We're talking about sex.
Chris, thank you for calling in when we're talking about the Cubs World Series. And by the way, I was very excited for the Sox when they won in 2005. And I don't like when people ignore that there has been a World Series in this century.
Well, I didn't root for them. I didn't root against them. But after the rain delay, it was something that was like, it was a different team that came out. And it was like, wow, they're really going to do this. They're going to kick ass, and they're going to win this tonight. And for all the true really Cubs fans of, you know, the 70s and 80-year-old people that really didn't get to see the playoffs, to actually see it on TV and see what it was like for your team to finally win a World Series, it was a phenomenal thing. And as a Sox fan, I was really emotional. It was really cool.
Thank you, Chris. Do you want to head over to the Laugh Factory to catch Paul's show tonight?
Oh, well, not tonight. No, thank you.
Not right now. I mean Friday night. Because I know it's so close.
No,
No, I worked the weekend, darling. All right. I appreciate it, though.
Oh, well, that's all right.
Another
that's
time.
Right. Another time, Chris.
That was very sweet.
Thank you for... Yes. That was nice. That was very
absolutely
nice.
Patty, I always call your show. It's a great show.
Oh, appreciate that. Well, we will talk to you again soon, and we'll have something for you next time, I promise.
Thanks, Sal.
All right. Take care. Bye, honey.
The Sox-Cubs thing reminds me. I moved here... I worked 13 years in Alabama, and we had the Alabama-Auburn, and that was blood sport. My son and his wife went to Auburn. My money went there, so I have to be for Auburn.
Sure.
But that state shuts down, and there are people in Alabama who are Alabama fans will actively root for, as Dan described in the last segment. Well, just like go and be whoever is playing Auburn they are for, period.
Right.
And so... I don't get that mentality here in Chicago. I like the Sox. I like the Cubs. I root for them. I'm a National League guy. But when the Sox are playing, yeah, if they win, awesome.
You didn't watch the World Series in 2005 and root
oh,
for
oh, gosh, yeah, I totally rooted for the Sox. Are you kidding me?
I did not watch. I haven't watched any other World. This is the World Series I've been waiting for. There might have been other ones I watched a little of. I watched every single game. I watched as many pitch. I mean, like I was in every. I've been watching since I would say all the way in before we clinched, before we got our magic number. I've watched a lot of Cubs games, but not as many as I had this season. That winning streak we had starting the season off, even when we had our slump going into the All-Star game, it was a short one. It wasn't even a we lost a little bit of momentum, but no, this season from the very beginning it's been exciting. Last year was great. Obviously it's been hard because I work for a station that previously was kind of part and parcel, really linked with the Chicago Cubs. And when I came here, I had the delightful pleasure of singing the seventh inning stretch and going out on the field under the diamond. And
that's awesome.
Well, no one ever heard us sing. It was the first time in the entire 16 years that they did a seventh inning stretch that no one heard.
Yeah, but you have the jersey in the ballpark, so nobody cares.
No, I mean, it was cool, but at the same time, there's only one audio recording of that. It's on Scott Miller's cell phone. But my son came up with me to the broadcast booth where Harry Carey used to sing the seventh inning stretch.
That's awesome.
And I have that memory with him. And I went out on the diamond, and the Cubs organization presented us with plaques for the relationship that they had for 90 years with 720.
Isn't it a thrill to be on the field? I mean, I was on the field with Jim Brady, who was the former press secretary to Ronald Reagan. And I used to do a lot of work for gun violence prevention. He came and he threw out the first pitch.
Wow.
And he went out there and he was in his wheelchair and he stood up. And the whole place erupted.
Sure.
I mean, that place, to infuse him with that kind of energy. And he got it, and he threw the ball, at the first pitch, and it was just great. So being on that field, and so I remember going through tours, like in the office, they used to do these tours. Have you ever been on a tour where they take you through it? I went with my dad and my brother-in-law's mom and dad, and his father-in-law. His father has since passed away, but we went for a tour and went all around Wrigley. They took the different parts with the history of it, and it was so cool. But just amazing stuff.
I'm locking the door. You're all not leaving. We have to do the news now. Here with everything you need to know is Rob Martier. Listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. We are on Michigan Avenue, and you know what? Actually, there were people kind of up and down the street for quite a while. It's tapered off now. Joining me is Scott Stantis, Senator Dankatowski, and Paul Farvar. We are talking about Cubs. I was going to move on to politics because it's been so much fun, but there's... I love this conversation that Bill Leff was having with Wendy Snyder the other day about being asked, if you were given your, what would you rather have? Would you rather have the Cubs win the World Series or Donald Trump? I mean, like, if the Cubs win the World Series and it meant that Donald Trump was going to win the presidency, would you take that? Sort of a devil's deal with the devil, right?
Yeah.
If you were, when you signed the contract, the Cubs are going to win. And you're going to have Donald Trump as your president.
Wouldn't take it.
Yeah. I've been a diehard fan my entire life.
Sorry, I would definitely take that. Cubs.
So I'm just saying.
Cubs, right? Can
Cubs
I answer?
World Series fascism.
Can I answer?
Yes.
Because I've been a diehard fan my entire life, and I'm like, you know what? I've dealt with the disappointment before, and it didn't kill me as a Cub fan. I think that would be.
Supreme Court justices in the balance.
I'm just saying,
should Donald Trump win on Tuesday, it's entirely possible that people sign contracts all over the country. In particular, there would be a huge concentration of those contracts originating out of Chicago.
I feel like it's.
What is going on with the contracts?
The devil.
These contracts are signed.
How does you stack? They all said.
It's like a monster stack.
They would also, or balance.
I don't think they were saying, we'll win, and then if we win, then, you know, whatever.
It's been a wonderful.
I don't think it was a Trump-Cub thing. It was more like, you know, if the Cubs win, I'll, like, never swear again, or I'll stop drinking.
She could not stop swearing after the last out of the game. I mean, like, she said.
Really?
Yeah.
I was doing some weird, like, OCD stuff. So strange. I had a Cubs belt buckle that I was, like, rubbing every time the pitcher.
Sure, came. Let's go with it.
Yeah, anything. Yes. But it looked weird if you didn't. All right.
Go ahead. No, we're listening.
Here I am telling you my secrets of how I got a win.
I'll turn their mics off. Look, they're not.
I got a win.
Your mics are off. Oh, your mic's off too. I apologize.
I got us a win with my strategy, and now you're questioning me. Go ahead. Go vote for Donald Trump. See what happens. You do your deal with the devil. I did mine with a belt buckle. What do you think is going to work?
I have a Hawaiian shirt, Cub shirt, which was given to me from my Sox fan. Cub fan hater friend who's at his wedding. He gave, you know, Cubs Hawaiian shirts, and then I wore my, that's it. There's nothing else. I'm just
in
kidding.
Public?
No. It was at our house. I had the same shirt that I wore when I was at, when David Ross hit a home run, last game of the season. My son, it was just euphoric. I wore that shirt. I wore it game 5 when they won at Wrigley. I wore it game 6 when they beat the Canadiens. I wore it game 7. So,
game 7.
Magic shirt.
I was going to say, Game 7, I have a Cubs shirt that is, and we were heading out to the Billy Goat in the 8th inning, and that's, my wife looked at me and says, you're going to wear that outside because it has gross stains and crap on it. Because you
the
don't.
Neck, it gets a lot of mines.
So I took it off and changed, and that's when bad things happened. Went back to my apartment and changed back to the gross
only
shirt,
one.
And guess what?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There was a girl at the game who had pajama pants that were clearly just, they were Cubs pajama pants, clearly a luck charm. Someone I saw with a blanket that was clearly like a
aww,
good luck charm.
Snuggy.
And a teddy, I saw someone else with a teddy bear, an adult with a Cubs teddy bear. So, like, there was a lot of people who had their little
juju.
Super, I mean, not on the Cleveland side, but, I mean, obviously
on
our
side.
Patty?
I have my jersey that I got from the Cubs organization, and I had not washed it.
No,
I had not. I know.
No,
I know.
How,
okay, so here's what happened though. Someone, I went in to hug somebody on Tuesday night, and I was like, "Wow, you smell like anxiety and fear." And I realized it was my shirt.
Oh man!
It was like, so I didn't wash it
because it gets baked into that
does,
material
like, in the neck and everything. So my husband actually took a fabric softener sheet, a bounce sheet, and he dampened it and sort of rubbed it on the spots.
He didn't clean it.
He did not clean it, but he freshened it up for me and tossed it in the dryer with
me. That's why Steve's so awesome.
So rubbing your belt buckle.
He gets it, though. He gets it.
You can't.
You don't want to mess up the
wash
juju, right?
No.
Because you could take
but
on the smells.
I really, like, my friend hugged me. I'm like, oh, it smelled like fear.
So rubbing your belt buckle, Hawaiian shirt,
dirty
cup shirt,
yeah.
Cup dirty shirt.
Yeah, I wore a dirty shirt, too. I mean, I had a shirt, too, that has, like, a stain on it. I was like, I don't care. I wore it, too. I mean, I had a bunch of stuff. Those were, like, the best ones.
Didn't the Cubs wear, didn't, wasn't one of them wear, so.
Someone else's underwear?
Yeah. So
Caesar's
it was
underwear.
Caesar's underwear and Caesar's bat. They act like, oh, we're not mindful of like the superstition stuff. We're just playing. They did certain things.
How much are Caesar's
underwear? Was it Rizzo who had, oh gosh, I'm trying to remember which player had, and you could see the outline from the NLCS, patch on the side.
Logo?
And he believes in keeping his own cap. So you could see the outline from that with the World Series patches over that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you could see the outline.
Oh, that's funny. Well, this is one of my favorite stories. Mark Harmon, who has just been doing a great job of covering the entire season, not just his work in Cleveland, but he's had some anxiety when it comes to Jason Hayward. And last night he was talking about how much that seemed to have made a difference when Jason Hayward took everybody during the rain delay and had a speech, kind of calmed everybody down. But I did not know, that Jason Hayward had a $184 million contract with the Cubs. But at the beginning of the season, and I also did not know that he and David Ross were teammates when they were in Atlanta from 2010 to 2012. So at the beginning of the season, knowing that David Ross was going to retire, the first move he did after locking up his deal was to pay for David Ross to have a hotel suite big enough for Ross's entire family for every road trip of the MLB season.
Oh, my gosh.
That's awesome.
Because he has three kids, he has a pretty big family. He's got three kids, and he was able to travel with his family.
There's something special about this team. Yeah. Some guys care about each other.
Including a newborn, by the way. So he was traveling with it's just, I love that story.
I love the fact they call him Grandpa, and he's got all these little kids.
Yeah. They're right? Seven, yeah, well, from newborn to 7 years
and
old.
And he's younger than all of us.
That's yeah, he's 20 years, almost 20 years younger than me.
Not me.
So.
Yeah.
Patty was very close.
Older than Patty, but the
close.
Rest of us.
No, I meant the guys well I was done. Talking about. But with Hayward, though, I wanted to know what happened during that speech that he gave to those guys. Like,
Carm knows more, he was telling us last night. I think, did you have some of the idea of what he had said in the...
No.
Ross said a little bit, I don't think he meant to, but he was on at like 5 in the morning on our drive home on ESPN. He was talking about it. But I bet you when they make the movie, like, there's going to be... There was whoever walked by said there was yelling. And Ross made it sound like, oh, he was just saying how much everyone means to everybody. But there had to have been some crazy stuff.
Theo told the story. He went down there and they were all in the weight room there.
Yeah.
And he's watching it, and he's like, what's going on down there?
There was yelling. It was closed door.
But he said it was, that Hayward talked about the fact that, look, we've worked hard to get there. We know what to do. And this is going to make it that much sweeter.
Yeah.
And the thing was, but the great story, there's another story I heard when the Cubs were down 3-1. They go in the locker room, and it's silent. And Ross looks at everybody. He's like, no, not this way. This is not going to be this way. This is not us. We are not that team. Come on. We're going to win this one out at a time, one inning at a time, one game at a time. That was, to me, you're going to go back to that speech, too, and that's a big deal. Because he's a big lead. These guys, it was great about, when they, I don't know if you saw this, Paul, on TV, when they talked about, they had that Rizzo, because Ross was mic'd up, and Rizzo's like, amped up, I can't even contain myself, I'm so amped up, and Ross is like, it's going to get worse.
Until the ninth,
you got to start breathing. Just got to breathe.
You've got to start breathing. Wow.
He seemed like a little kid. It was great. It was just...
it was wonderful.
And the ladies like Rizzo.
Oh, he's adorable. I like Baez. I like a lot. I love watching these kids play, huh?
What about Brian? All the women.
Yeah,
Brian.
His husky eyes.
They're ice like blue.
He looks like a Siberian husky.
Looks like Zach. Who's the guy?
Zach Efron.
Zach Efron. He looks like him.
Chris Bryant's the background on my phone.
Is he?
Yes.
There you go.
MVP. Oh, anytime he went on at the game, they would start chanting MVP, and it was. You couldn't tell you were a progressive field. It was insane.
That. Like when Zobrist hit the hit, it was like it was regular place just erupted. It
seemed like a home game.
I missed one play. I was in the bathroom and I heard everything go crazy. I was like, oh no, something bad happened. I came back and then my friend's like, no, Fowler got a single. Like, oh. I'm like, oh my God. In the bathroom, it sounded like they got a home run. They're like, no, it's all. It's like, no, it's all.
Did
no,
you see LeBron James flexing after they had,
we were, oh my God.
Yeah. No, it was like, this thing. I don't even know.
Oh my God.
Like, Smith took off his shirt and the place, when they did that, it got really bad. It was loud and I was like, oh no.
Did you see any of the kids that got tattoos? They had the Cleveland Indians World Series champions 2000.
Oh no.
Yes.
No.
Yeah. They were posted at like 6 p.m. Yeah.
LeBron James has lost his bet.
Ooh,
he bet with Dwayne Wade.
Oh, nice.
So LeBron James has to wear a whole Cubs outfit the next time they're going
to
play the Bulls.
When it comes to the Bulls, he's got to wear a whole Bulls outfit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? Oh,
a whole Cubs.
I can tell you at the Not Billy Bulls, Goat
Cubs,
when right? they put
oh,
him
no,
on the screen.
A whole Cubs outfit. I'm sorry. That's a whole Cubs outfit.
To play basketball in?
No, he's got to show up. He's showing up wearing a Cubs outfit. Like Frank Kaminsky, I can't wait for this. You talk about a hater. I don't know if he's paying attention. Frank Kaminsky played for Wisconsin. And he plays for, I believe, Charlotte right now.
He's been talking a lot.
He wore a Bartman jersey when he showed up at United Center last time when they were playing against the Bulls. And he's Bartman jersey, and he's totally hating on him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got your World Series right here, baseball. Right.
Yeah, we got the trophy.
Got
the Bartman jersey.
Bring your scissors.
Good for you.
Did you hear how excited Mayor Emanuel got? I've never heard him hit that note.
Oh,
I mean,
God.
He was such a big kid.
He was like, we got three precincts right here. Did you hear what he was saying? That was great.
Oh, my God. But I have to say, again, if you didn't hear us earlier, we also have to think, one, the fans have been unbelievable. There was, you know, there were some tussles. I know that there was some violence, but the police department has been working 12-hour shifts. The men and women who work for the CPD and for our Chicago Fire Department, all of our first responders, thank you so much for doing a tremendous job. I know that you're all exhausted and excited, some of you. And, yeah, it was
remarkable. I was just, oh, my gosh, look at this. You had hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people on the streets last night.
Mm-hmm.
And what? Nine arrests, 12 arrests. It was nothing.
And I said this from the beginning because, and I wish somebody had bet me, like for a waxing of their thighs or perhaps their back. I would have told you this was going to be the way it was. I would have said less than 20 arrests.
I actually gave a speech recently and I had to show them my nose.
Yeah, he
got waxed.
So Scott bet me. We bet each other. I early on with Donald Trump's announcement
genius.
Of his. I don't feel
genius.
Oh,
yeah, you told me about this.
Yeah, that I
you
felt that he was going to. Well, one, I felt he was going to be the candidate, but we went step by step.
Yes, we did.
And the late, great Paul Green also thought he was gonna, that Donald Trump would be out after the first debate. So you were not. You were in good company. Just want you to know that.
Yeah, well, I got more than a lot of my body waxed because of that. And so I was giving a speech in Tucson. I actually showed them where I was waxed, some of it.
Including his nose. Did you give your nose waxed?
We all got
waxed. I got my nose waxed.
I need to go back.
It's fine.
Does it take long for it to grow back?
For it to grow back.
It does not.
No, it grows back shockingly fast.
Weird.
And quickly and longer. So I did not like doing that.
In the nose.
In the nose.
For the other parts of your body, does it take longer?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. No, I was like, there's a tickle in my nose. I go, oh, what's that? I go, boink.
Yep.
And this was like less than a month later. I go, and it's this like foot long thing.
Oh, nose hair.
Man.
Okay. More after this on 720 WGM. Live there for a moment, everyone. It's a little church booty. What's the name of the song there? It's called Undercover. Undercover. We should have him live. I have Music Monday. Look, I have him on. Yeah. You tell me that you trust no others, but you're down for someone else. Undercover all your life. I think Scott's organist at his church would like Church Booty.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, she'd love this.
Maybe next Sunday.
Yeah. I don't even play What's in the Box anymore, so she probably would think I'm not as dirty anymore.
I know. I think that's a great song.
It ran its course.
It did.
It's all right.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, you only have so many reviews. And then, you know, you got to move on and have do other things. One of the things that people have commented on, and you just mentioned this off the air, the curse of the Cubs and whether or not the relationship that ended a couple of years ago. I would like to reinforce that it was a couple of years ago. So if it was, in fact, the relationship that ended a couple of years ago, then the Cubs would have won in 2015. So I don't think that the broadcasters who had a relationship with the Chicago Cubs for 90 years had any sort of influence in the curse or outcome of the World Series.
I think they had if anything, it's the opposite, because I watched – and listen to the team on WGN. And if I didn't become a fan, I couldn't have worn the belt yesterday,
see?
The belt
Do you
buckle
see?
That won the game.
Generations were
so,
built.
Agreed.
You're welcome
Agreed.
Again
yes.
for my service.
Thank you for wearing your belt and touching it.
The belt cup.
The belt, yes.
Cubs,
is there a
belt
float for you in the belt buckle?
You know, you will start a website. I'm going to have a Facebook page the belt buckle.
We have a radio flyer wagon for you if you want to have someone.
Remember, like, feel the burn, feel the buckle.
Feel the buckle.
Everybody could come and touch my belt buckle. Well, that might be a little creepy.
Yeah, it's a little weird. It's like grabbing something inappropriate.
What do they say in French?
So Tuesday, I early voted, and I brought my son with me. Now, can
Johnson?
Her son's name is not Johnson.
No, you didn't.
No.
No, okay.
No.
Okay. Yes. I didn't sway you. Damn.
how do I say this? I'm not as disappointed in my choices as people seem to be. And that's because I do believe in experience. I think that there are things that have to be done as a politician, and maybe we don't like choices that people in power have to make, and the way they tell their story and the strategy that they have to employ. And I know I'm being vague, but I don't think that I am. I don't understand choosing, and I have friends who are struggling with their choice over Trump, by the way, who say, you know, all these investigations when it comes to Russia and these rape charges that are, you know, this court case that's going to be happening in December. I have friends who are, you know, that don't want to vote for Hillary Clinton, but don't necessarily want to vote for Donald Trump either. And, you know, they see a lot of things, a lot of the hate, you know, the KKK is supporting Donald Trump, and they're struggling with that too. And a lot of people want to leave the top of the ticket blank. What do you think about that, Senator Katowski? Should people vote? People who are torn and really hate the top of the ticket, should they just show up and vote for the things? Because local voting is incredibly important. The bills that we have right now, there's an amendment at the top of the ticket. The first thing you vote on in Illinois is the Safe Roads bill.
Yeah. So I was just thinking about this. When I first ran for Senate, they asked me if I was going to vote for Governor Blagojevich. And when I went to the editorial board at the Daily Herald, and I said no. They said, well, he's the leader of your party. I said, I'm going to write in Dick Devine's name. So, look, this is America. You know, if you don't like who your choice is, you have an opportunity to write someone's name in or vote for someone else.
Well, you can leave it blank. They'll ask you when you're done.
I would also say the other part of it is don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. I mean, I think there's this, we've increased.
Wait, hold on a second. You have to slow that one down. Don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good.
Yeah, I think there's this notion.
It's a Joe Madden statement.
It's an expectation of perfection, or an expectation that people are going to be absolutely pure. When they're in government, we don't have this expectation in any aspect in life. There are people who are just good people, and maybe they've made mistakes, and, you know, and maybe they've done things that necessarily at that point of their life wasn't the best. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think if you candidates, you have two people, you think one person's good, they're both good, yeah, and one that was better, you vote for them. And so I think there's this notion of politics, there's a striving for this perfection. It's never existed ever in the history of our country.
So, tell me someone who you think has come close. Do you have anyone who's come close in your lifetime as a politician that you think that you really came to that, you know, that polling, that election booth, and said, I can't wait to vote for this person?
Paul Simon.
Oh.
Yeah, I was a fan of Paul Simon, and I also worked on the Bill Bradley campaign. He was running for president in 2000. I thought he was amazing on a lot of things. So, yeah. But going back to what you said,
let me just make sure with Scott. Scott, did you?
I was going to say Ron Reagan in '84, and I actually worked on.
So anyway, Paul.
I actually worked on the George H.W. Bush California campaign in 1980. Yeah, there was three of us.
Paul, you were saying? Yeah.
But you know, history's going to reveal that George H.W. Bush...
Seriously, Senator, I didn't let... I cut off Paul.
I don't really care. But George Bush is going to reveal that he was like just a very stand-up guy. Great integrity. Wonderful guy.
History is showing that right now, by the way he's acting and everything. But what you were saying was a really good point, and I think a guest that you had on your show, Patty, a couple weeks ago, I forgot which person it was, but they made a good point that if you do write in a candidate or whatever, or you don't want to vote, just you have to understand that the consequences of what you do, that you're okay with whoever ends up winning, because
I couldn't disagree with that more. I'm sorry.
That's a good whoever said that resonated.
What do you mean
me.
That you're okay with whoever wins?
No. That voting your conscience if it's a third party candidate, that doesn't mean. First off, your vote matters, but it doesn't count. And I'll tell you why. Because the closest election ever in presidential politics was in 1828, and Maryland was a four vote difference. Even then, one single vote would make no difference. If you vote your conscience...
I don't think it's the difference. I think it is the appearance of it, right? So the numbers, the turnout. And I think globally what we're telling the world is the percentage of people that elect whichever candidate wins, that you are okay with that sort of that appearance. I think that with your... That, I think that was what Ken Jacobowski was saying, was that if you don't vote for either one that stands a chance to win. Whoever you, I know I tried struggling with that information as well, but if you're voting with your conscience and you really believe that, that's absolutely the outstanding thing to do, and you really believe in Gary Johnson.
Or
Greg Johnson.
Stein.
What's his name?
Gary.
Okay.
Gary Johnson. Governor Gary
and
Johnson.
Jill Stein, who thinks that comedians should shut up.
Yeah. I saw that. I thought it was a joke.
I know. She does. She thinks that comedians should...
You know what? We're the evil. We're the evil.
That would be
empire.
You. That would be
we
you.
We sat down with Jill with Jill Stein, Dr. Stein, and she was amazing. She was remarkable. I disagreed with her on, well, everything.
What was she amazing at then?
Did she laugh at anything?
I don't know.
What made her amazing? What made her amazing?
Because she was articulate, she was smart, she clearly had a grasp of the issues that concern her as a Green Party candidate. So, I mean, to dismiss her...
Senator's done.
Our standard is, it's very interesting to me, our standard in this, it's been so, like...
Well, I wanted to ask a quick question, and super quick, because we're running out of time. But seriously, can there be a candidate anybody likes in this environment of social media and 24/7 cable news? Can there ever be a candidate again that we would say, yeah, that's someone we can vote for?
This is Chicago's very own, 720 yes. WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. Vic Vaughn is in the newsroom. Nick D is up next. I want to thank so much to my guests for joining us in the studio. We are excited. We'll be at the rally tonight. Thank you so much. Did I already say this is Chicago's very own, 720 WGN Chicago, WGNRadio.com? Here's Vic Vaughn.